for Late Night Alternative with Ian Lee.
Unfiltered Night Talk with the original king of unconventional conversation on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
I should say, by the way, if you don't get answered, keep calling. You will get answered. I just missed a couple of calls then. They put their phones down during the trailer for Julie Hartley Brewer. So call. If I see you on the screen, you will get answered at some point. You just might need to be a little bit patient. Line one, you're on the wireless.
Hello.
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 Yes.
Hi. Hello there, buddy. I'm sorry to say I was put through by one of your girls, and I touched a button on the phone by mistake, and I cut myself off.
That's okay.
Right, well, sorry about that.
That's okay. One of my girls put you through, though, did they?
Aye. They put me through, and I was hanging. Okay. And I think I was actually going to be next on.
Okay,
actually.
Well, you're on now. What would you like to say?
Is that you, Nick?
Yes.
Right, Nick. It's regarding a call earlier there, when you were speaking to one of the girls, and you turned around and you stated that lumpy girls are ugly. And then you didn't
get
a response from me. No, wait a minute.
No, you wait a minute. You wait a minute. They are.
You want to let me finish, please? You want to let me finish?
I might do if you answer this question.
What are you beefing on about?
What's the question?
What are you beefing on about?
Right, you want to let me finish my original question to...
Am I talking to myself here?
Right, can I finish the statement?
I've got a mouthful of sausage.
You are an idiot.
Right, so, and then you didn't get a response offer, and then you said to her again, lumpy girl.
You are the dumbest caller.
I have a daughter that is lumpy.
You are the dumbest caller.
I don't have a daughter that is lumpy.
You are the dumbest caller I've ever spoken to in my life.
I hope you don't have a daughter that is lumpy.
You're the dumbest caller I've ever spoken to in my life.
I hope you don't have a daughter that is lumpy.
Okay, fine. I can't have daughters. I'm missing a left testicle, the one that makes ladies.
What an absolute statement in this day and age when all the mental health issues with all the young kids...
What are you talking about, you absolute muppet?
You're an absolute moron.
Hey, baby, baby!
Off women's head!
You're the dumbest caller I've ever spoken to.
You're a moron. You're a moron.
I'm the moron.
You are a moron.
You phoned up the wrong...
You are the moron.
You phoned up the wrong radio station.
Health issues.
You phoned... You... I never said it. I never said it.
You did say it. Listen,
no, I didn't.
Man, you said it twice.
No, I didn't say it.
You said it a second time.
I swear on my mum's life...
Moron.
Shut up and listen! Shut your face! I swear on my mum's... Shut up. I swear on my mum's life, I never said it.
You swear anything you want. You're an absolute moron.
You're the moron. You're the moron.
No, you are.
You phoned up the wrong radio station.
Say that about any girl.
I'll tell you for the fourth time. You phoned up. You phoned up the wrong. You phoned up the wrong radio station. You idiot.
You're the moron.
I'll tell you for the fifth and final time. Right? You have phoned up the wrong radio station. Now who's the moron?
You.
You! This isn't LBC, I'm not Nick Abbott! Yeah, hang up! Go find the right radio station!
There was no way of getting out of that one gracefully, was there?
I have to get to my soundboard.
Off women's head!
Incredible.
You moron.
I wonder if he's going to ring up Nick Abbott now and do the same thing.
Can someone go and listen to LBC for me, please, and let me know if he phones up? And if he does, we'll listen in.
Because it might be about to get interesting.
Yeah. If he gets on LBC, could you tweet me and we'll switch over to them and we'll listen to them?
You're a fanny.
Hey, come on now. You don't get those very often these days. And normally it's... the knuckle draggers phoning up Talk Sport. But when he said Nick, I thought, oh.
When he said girls, I was thinking.
Yeah. Yeah. I thought, well, he said girls, maybe. And then it's Nick. Oh, Nick Abbott and LBC. Oh, right. Okay.
Sounds like Nick said something beastly.
Experience the unconventional.
Hello.
The unpredictable.
Don't you think that's a bit weird?
And the completely unorthodox.
It was my birthday.
With rule-free Ian Lee.
I was just trying to generate a bit of content.
The Late Night Alternative with Ian Lee.
Hate alarm clock. Hate going to work.
On Talk Radio.
Line one, you're on the wireless.
Hello there, Ian. Hello, Kath.
Hey.
Hi. I'm a first-time caller, and I'm calling in to have a little chat.
Okay.
And I thought I'd change tack, if that's okay.
Yes.
Because there's been quite a few... is the word bell cheeses? I don't know what the word you're
Yeah, that's...
I don't know if that's the word you would use.
You know it's the word he would use.
Yeah, I agree. So... I thought I'd play a guessing game, if that's okay.
Yeah.
If you want to play along. Now, I've got a choice of two. I did something, well, 2 years ago today.
Yeah.
I did something which I fulfilled an ambition of mine as a child.
You wore your mum's pants all day. Have I got it right?
No.
Oh.
No.
Okay.
So we could have a guess at that. Or I did something 2 days ago that has left me very uncomfortable.
Catherine?
You can have a guess at what he did 2 years ago that fulfilled a childhood dream and what he did 2 days ago that made him feel uncomfortable.
I thought we said to David Gore.
No, 2 days ago.
2 days ago.
That might be the pants.
Yeah. I'm from County Durham, so...
Okay,
I apologise.
Don't you dare apologise.
No, we should apologise.
Nope.
People with weird accents should apologise to people who don't have accents.
All right, Milk.
Okay, well, what did you do 2 days ago? Did you punch someone?
No, I'm quite a mellow fellow.
Mellow fellow. Well, obviously, I've got no idea. Are you going to give us clues, or...?
Well, try, I don't know, maybe try 20 questions or something like that, if you want to do it that way.
Okay, so let's... Okay.
Answer yes or no.
Okay. Is what you did...
Sorry?
What was that?
Sorry, it's that discomfort I was talking about. Sorry.
Is what you did interesting?
I think you've talked about it before on your show.
Is it potholing?
No.
Kathy, you going to help me out with this? Because I'm losing the will to
live. We're talking about the thing two days ago, because that's obviously the thing.
Oh, sorry again.
Here we go. It's made him feel...
What is that noise?
He's made him feel all wibbly.
Wibbly wobbly. Hang on a second. Stay there. Stay there. Let's... Line two?
Yes?
Yeah. Would you like to guess what this gentleman has done 2 days ago?
I don't know. I just wanted to... have a word with you and Kath.
OK, well, stay there, gentlemen. We want to talk to Joan, first of all. We'll come back to you in a minute. Yes, Joan, my dear.
Hello.
Shut up! Yes, Joan, what would you like to say to me and Kath?
Did you look up Peace Hall, Kath?
Yes. Thank you. Yeah, we did, didn't we?
Yeah, we did look up Peace Hall, yes, in Halifax.
The weekend you were there, 5,000 went through, and they had a tent with... refreshments in and a lot of quiet
singing. We saw it just as they were closing it up.
Yeah, we were too late.
We were hungry and we got there and we saw them closing it and we went, well, that looked nice.
What a shame.
Never mind.
They had a big old Christmas market, didn't they, that weekend?
It is. They're everyone every day till Christmas, yeah.
Oh, do they? It's a great place.
They all stick today, you know, that news off the papers.
Oh, yeah.
And that's what it told me. Oh. Can I tell you a lovely story?
Oh, I wish you would.
Yeah, please do.
Please.
Well, shut up, you caller. I'm talking to Joan now.
Either. We went on holiday with this couple that ran holiday bus, you know, private holiday bus.
Oh,
and
yeah. Swingers.
We went, I don't know where we went, but they had day trips. Oh. And she knew about us, right, and she said, they stopped, and people were getting off. She said, look, if you took up those steps... there's no traffic up there, and there's shops and seats, so they give us a packed lunch. So we sat down, ate our packed lunch, and I said, hey, watch me bag while I go and put this rubbish in this bin.
Yeah.
we'll go up to Marks and Spencer and see if they've any drinks.
You didn't have any drinks in your packed lunch?
Pardon?
You didn't have no drinks in the packed lunch. That's an oversight. No. Yeah. Okay.
Anyway, we got to the shop. I said, "Where's my handbag?" He said, "I don't know."
Oh no.
I said, "Well, I left it with you." So I shot back to the seat. It had gone.
Oh, of course so it had.
Went to the optician. She said, "No, they've asked the shop next door." So I went in the shop next door. She said, "What sort of bag it was?" I told her.
Yeah.
She said, "What was in it?" So I told her everything that was in it, including a lot of money in an envelope. We got out for a holiday, you know.
Oh, your holiday money, yeah.
She said, "Well, it is your bag, and a tramp handed it in."
Yay! There we go.
As we were going through the door, this tramp came and said, "I saw your husband leave your bag, though, so I thought you'd need it."
Oh.
I said, "Thank you very much," and I gave him a big kiss and hug and £20.
Oh, you're a good one, Joe.
Oh, well done, you.
Wasn't that lovely?
Yeah, well done.
Yeah, be quiet, caller. What a lovely story. Isn't that nice?
Yeah, that's the finish with, isn't it, that?
Although, why, if he saw your husband leave it, why didn't he pick it up and take it to your husband?
Maybe your husband's really fast.
He didn't see it till we got it. Oh, until.
Well, that's, well done him, and well done the shop, and well done you. And
it shows that tramps aren't all rotten, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does, because it does show that tramps aren't all rotten.
It's a lesson for today.
No, yeah, it was really nice. I said, "I'm first time I've ever kissed a tramp."
There you go. Well, that just goes to show that even some of those horrible, dirty tramps.
I gave him £20 because, you know.
He'd have spent it on booze.
It was worth it.
Hey, Joan, listen, nice one. How are you feeling tonight? You all right?
Yeah, fine.
You look ready for a funky weekend?
Well, we're going to see him tomorrow, on Sunday, that's all.
OK, all right, well, you have a lovely weekend, and maybe we'll speak next week, Joan.
I'll be well, yeah, thank you.
Take care, my love.
Bye. Bye-bye.
Night. Bye-bye. I like Joan a lot. She's one of my favourite callers.
I know,
callers.
I love
was
her.
It? Did you hand in a lady's bag into an optician's?
No.
I know what you've done.
No.
I know what you've done.
Go on.
You've shaved your balls.
Well,
Didn't we got that right? Thanks very much indeed. Let's go to line 3. 3, you're on the wireless.
Hello.
Mm-hmm.
I'll ring you back.
He's going to ring back. Okay.
All right, we'll speak to you in a little bit. Give us a call back. Let's go to line 5, you're on the wireless.
Is that Manston on the line? I was phoning to have a hazard a guess at his thing.
Well, we think it was he shaved his balls.
Oh, that's what I thought.
Well, there you go, you see. Well done.
Do you recognise the discomfort noise?
Let's go to line 2. 2, you're on the wireless.
Hello?
Hello, line 2.
Hello. I just wanted to remind you, at 17 past midnight, it's... said something not nice about the accents of people. They should not call this if they have thick accents. I don't think it's nice of you to say.
I don't want anyone with a thick accent calling this show.
Okay.
I don't want people with different accents speaking to me. I don't have any accent, so I don't want people. I don't want people with different accents speaking to me. I think it's disgusting.
Okay. Bye. Bye.
Goodbye to you.
Bye.
I'm a what?
Racist.
No. Well, I didn't mention races. People of different races can call me as long as they don't have an accent.
Yeah, you should tell people they have a thick accent. That's nasty.
No, you mean thick as in stupid. I don't mean thick as in stupid. I mean thick as in heavy, man.
Oh, right. So you do understand me even if I have an accent?
Pardon?
You do understand me, even if I have an accent, you do understand me when I speak with you.
I understand you, yes, sir.
Oh, that's very nice, thank you.
I understand that you're a racist.
Oh, not me.
Yeah, yes. I don't have a problem with races. I have a problem with accents. It's different. You have a problem with me because of my race. You're not going to phone this show again, you just said.
Well, 17 past midnight, when I heard you have a problem with accents.
Yes, I have a problem with accents, not races.
On this show, yep.
And now you're telling me you're never going to call this show again because of my race. I'm the racist? Huh? What?
You need to have a
Dude, it was a joke, man. It was a joke. It was an obvious joke. I'm guessing you've never listened to the show before. It was an obvious joke. We just had a fella on. He's got Parkinson's. It takes.
I do apologise, then. It was my mistake. I didn't understand right.
And I apologise, man. Listen, I love you. I love accents. I love all the accents. Sorry. Apart from the Manchester one and yours, I love all... I'm joking. I love all accents. Of course, it was a joke, man. I want people to call in. This is a show based on love and peace. And everybody is welcome.
That's why I called.
Everybody's welcome. You're double welcome. Welcome, my friend. I love your accent. I want to put your accent in a sandwich and eat it.
Oh, that's a bit weird.
No, it's not. Where are you from, my friend? No,
my accent is too thick to eat it.
where are you from?
East Europe.
Specifically?
That's quite vague. Give us a country. Romania.
There you go. You're a smart one.
Is it that one? No.
Yeah,
I got it right first go.
You're a smart one.
I'm a very smart one. I love the Romanians. I love the accent. I love the people. Listen, this isn't the Nigel Farage show on it. This isn't LBC, for crying out loud. I want you guys here. I want all of you people. I want as many of you over here as we can get. And I'm embarrassed and ashamed that we're going to kick you all out. I love you, man.
I know it was a gentleman from North. Of Britain, North UK.
Yeah.
Who spoke and you didn't like his thick accent.
Yeah.
It was a joke.
I don't know. No, he's right. I don't like northern accents. I think that is disgusting.
Do you know why he's saying that?
Pardon?
Do you know why he's saying that in particular?
Please tell me.
Because I'm northern, so he's joking with me.
Oh, right.
I love this guy.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, exactly. I mean...
It's all about you guys, it's nothing. Okay.
Hey, listen, what's your name, my friend?
Thank you.
What's your name, my friend?
Just Michael.
Oh, he doesn't even want to tell us his name! This guy's a spy!
Oh.
This guy's a Romanian spy!
He's secret, we're going to call you Secret Michael.
Listen, Michael. How funny, he's got a really English name. Listen, Michael, you are very welcome here, my friend, and you're welcome to come on this show anytime you want, and it was a joke, and if it in any way upset you, I'm really sorry, but
do
you know what?
Thank you very much. I did get it now. It's something...
I'm glad it upset you, because it meant that you called in. It meant you called in and...
Something with all the accents, just with northern accents.
Exactly. Hey, listen, brother, it's nice to talk to you. Michael. We'll speak again. Thank you.
I love listening to you guys.
I love that. We love talking to you, man. You give us a call anytime you want. There you go.
Poor Michael.
Oh, bless him. He's a good lad. We've got another 10 minutes or so of this before Kellner comes. Martin, sir, Mr. Kellner to you.
Killer Kellner.
The late night alternative, Ian and Kath on Talk Radio.
Experience the unconventional.
Evening, boss.
The unpredictable.
What's happening?
And the completely unorthodox.
Exactly.
With rule-free Ian Lee. The late-night alternative with Ian Lee.
I've got no internet for the last 4 days.
On Talk Radio.
Hiya, it's Katie.
Hello, Katie.
Hi. Just a quick one. I've been having a really bad nightmare since they upped my medication, so can you just tell me to have sweet dreams?
No, because I'm old enough to be your dad's older brother, but Catherine can do it.
All right, let's. How do we do this?
Hang on a minute. Let's get some appropriate music that will just help ease.
Are you lying down, Katie?
Yeah.
Good. Right. Oh no, not this music.
No.
No, that's Scary Dreams.
Wrong music. All right,
that's
sorry.
The Scary Dreams music. No, that's Chilling Dreams.
Sweet dreams, Katie. Sweet dreams from beyond the grave. Does that help, Katie? Excellent stuff.
Night-night.
Line 3, you're on the
wireless. So horrible.
Poor kid. Line 3, you're on the wireless.
Hello. I want to say night-night to Katie.
Oh! Go on, she'll be listening. Go on, she's gone, but she'll be listening.
Oh, it's Michael again.
We guessed from your silly accent. Now, it's a joke. But she's listening. Hang on a minute. Just stay there. I wonder if we're running out of.
So she's going to get a call from an anonymous number, and then she's going to get Michael saying, "Good night, Katie."
I think this is it. This might be the wrong number because it's not got a name on it.
Someone's going to get a shock, then, aren't they?
Someone's in for a little bit of a shocksy.
Oh, geez.
Just say when she answers. Just say hello, Katie. All right, we won't be here.
That's not Katie.
Sorry. No, hang on. We got the wrong number.
Reverse. This phone
sorry,
call.
That was us. We called the wrong person. Sorry, goodbye. I don't know.
No, you called the wrong person.
Goodbye. Goodbye, done? Caller.
Hang on.
What have you done?
Hang on. Let's try this. This one. This is Katie. Right. So you, when she answers, you do it. We're not here. Okay. Here we go.
There you go.
Hello.
Hello, Katie.
Wrong number, sorry.
Abort! 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 Dude, we can't find her, I'm afraid, but you're a good man. Thank you very much indeed.
She's hiding under the covers, that's why.
Giving her nightmares. Margot Gurian. I don't intend to spend Christmas without you. What a great album. What a great woman. I've had the pleasure of interviewing her, and she is a delight. And she kind of... She's great, right? She made one album that is just stunning. It's kind of... Is that sort of soft... late 60s voice. The cover is her looking very beautiful, smoking a fag. It's all... I think Cass Elliot and Glen Campbell covered one of her songs, so she had a bit of success. But she got into it about the age of 21. She heard God Only Knows by the Beach Boys and went, yeah, I think I can do that. And that was it. Yeah, I think I can do that. Inspired by one of the most complex songs of all. Yeah, I think I can do that. And she recorded one album and it's a joy. And then there's kind of like an expanded version. 25 demos is the thing. She's a joy. She's on Twitter. Send Margot Gurian love, because we love her. It's kind of kicking off on Twitter. By the way, thank you, Dave. Ringo Starr wasn't in the audience for Paul McCartney last night. No, he was on the stage.
Oh, hey. Jesus.
It was a Beatles reunion last night and I missed it. Ronnie Wood was there as well, but I think he's a dick. So then, I've mentioned this thing about train drivers. I honestly can't... It's tube drivers. Tube drivers earn £100,000 a year. They don't. They don't. Nine of them do. Literally nine of them do. Most of them earn between 60 and 70,000, which is still a lot of money. It's great. But it's the big difference between 60,000 and 100,000, OK? So I've tweeted... incredible hearing Nick Ferrari this morning criticising tube drivers for earning over £100,000. Brackets, only nine do. Just for, quote, opening and closing the doors. I suggest he earns around 10 times that just for, quote, opening and closing his gob. Then there's loads of comments like this. Loads, a handful. From Rikazashi. No idea who he is, but that's a ridiculous salary earned through bully strike tactics. I can't think of any profession that earns anywhere close to that which doesn't require years of qualifications and huge debt to acquire. Most PhD academics start on 25 grand a year, and that's 7 to 8 years in uni. Do you want to see if you can get Sarah back? Because I'm just about to go to her. So that's jealousy. That's snobbery.
It's a bit snobbery.
That's
there.
Snobbery.
Academic
that's saying,
snobbery.
That's saying working class people. Because I would imagine that a lot of these train drivers are. I could be wrong. But that's saying you cannot earn big figures if you've not been to university.
Also, the assumption is that these people were earning the high end. And it's, as you said, there's only nine and perhaps fewer than that.
Yeah. No, it's literally, it's nine.
Aren't trained.
Yeah, yeah. No, the and it isn't. It's exactly nine. And these are trained.
Yeah.
They've been doing it for years, right? So Rikazashi, the arrogance. The only PhD academics are allowed to earn...
They don't earn that. PhD academics don't earn that.
But they're only allowed to earn lots of... I don't understand your horrible, snarling tactics. And then Buck says, this is true, I heard this as well. I can't listen to him anymore. And then Ferrari went on to describe how hard it is to change the headlight bulb in his Porsche Cayenne. What a bell end. He did. Barry says, it is a lot of money, though. The average salary in the UK is £26,000. Remember, teachers average around £25,000. Modfather, there are medical professions on a third of this, so sorry, not sorry. First of all, they're not asking for your sympathy. Secondly, so what? Medical professionals, and I guess kept tweeting to everyone, we'll fight for the medical professionals to earn more. Don't fight for the train drivers to earn less. Why should we not earn more? So what, only the elite can earn more? Only footballers can earn more? Only academics can? Why can't... You know, working class people earn more money. What is the problem?
When we had a phone call from the guy earlier on, what was his name? Who was the train driver?
Okay.
Steve, yes. Right? Steve said we haven't got enough train drivers. So That's the point. It's market forces. So you want to keep the people you've got. Does anyone else want to train as a train driver?
Here we go. Someone says, thank you. Trainee nurse here, and I hate that my profession gets dragged up solely to point to as a they earn less than this other working group, but never pointed to the fact that the pay should be increased.
Yeah.
You want to earn what tube drivers earn? Apply for a job driving a tube train.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. Here we go. This country is obsessed with fairly paid working class jobs. Heavy industries used to pay well. Now it's all low pay service industry jobs. Husband and wife working full time and still on breadline is the new norm. Shock jocks love to talk about this handful of people who earn more to cause division and bitterness.
Yeah.
And that's what it is. That's all. That's all it is. I'm just going scrolling through these.
But there are still people falling for it.
Don't turn against the tube drivers. Say, OK, well done. Well, you're earning a lot. Your union's doing a great job. Well done for you. Nurses, what are you on? Geez, that sucks. How can we... Let's fight. Instead of our attention being turned on hating these people and trying to earn them less and then resenting them, let's turn to the people that we want to earn more and see what we can do to help them earn more.
The nurses get it in the neck for when an agency comes along and gets them more money for doing the same job as an agency nurse. They get it in the neck for that. But at the same time, we're all holding up as, oh, poor nurses, they don't earn enough. Get them more money then.
Yep. Yep.
If they could get more money on the NHS, they wouldn't go to the agencies. But you can't hate them for trying to earn as much as they can.
Let's go to Sarah. Good evening, Sarah.
Morse code, Sarah.
Just leave it for a minute, Mum. This is why I earn the big bucks. For two reasons. One, I have to put up with her.
Oh.
Two, I have to put up with idiots like this. Ah, oh, jeez. Let's go to Simon. Yes, hello.
Talking of fishy. Hello.
Yes.
Ian, do you know what? Good evening, Kath, by the way. Sorry.
Waves.
Do you know what I love? Do you know what I love about you guys is you have the ability. You're the only... There's not many people in this world that have the ability to make me think in a different way.
It's because you're an idiot.
And...
Sorry, even by my standards...
Where did that come from?
Even by my standards, he's paying me a compliment and I'm calling him an idiot. It's a level we've sunk to. Merry Christmas!
Oh, dear. Thank you. Thank
you. I'm teasing. Go on.
Now, up until... There's been a lot of broadcasters covering the tube drivers' pay.
Yeah.
Today and... Well, it started on Saturday, actually. And up until I switched on your show...
Yes, man.
I was kind of swaying that way as well, right?
Yeah.
But no, you're absolutely right. Fair play to the drivers. If I could earn that sort of money, then that's more, you know, more power.
Well, here's the thing. Here's the thing. You could earn that sort of money. Go and train to be a tube driver.
Yeah, pull your finger out.
Yeah, that opportunity is there for you. Oh, hang on. They have to live within 30 minutes of a tube station. So they have to live in or near London. Suddenly, 60 grand a year ain't that much. They're living in or near London. 60 grand a year ain't that much.
That's true. That's true. But you know what? I think everybody should be paid more. If you're not earning enough money, then... It's not someone else's fault. So thank you for helping me to change my thought process. I mean, for me personally, my trade has, and my income has more than halved in the last couple of years.
Yeah.
And my expenditure has more than doubled.
Yeah.
I'm a cabbie, you probably know, but this used to be quite a lucrative job.
Exactly. So hang on a minute. And this is what they want. And I don't really know who they is anymore. I used to think it's people like Jacob Rees-Mogg, but I don't know. But they want you, a cabbie, to turn against your brothers and sisters who are tube drivers because they're earning so much money. There's no reason that you should turn against them, but they want to create division. Do you remember all this stuff, right, about, people in the medical profession don't earn that much. Well, what about when the junior doctors went on strike? Now, junior doctors obviously earn more than nurses, but when they went on strike, people were calling for them to be hung. It was outrageous that anyone in the medical profession should go on strike. Here's the thing, right? I genuinely believe this. If the nurses had a decent union, they'd all be on strike. Now, it would cause mayhem, but they should all go on strike. They should have been striking for the last 20 years, and then they would be getting close to earning a decent wage. Now, if nurses went on strike, Ferrari and all these other people going, this is outrageous. Nurses on strike, they're putting lives at risk. People will die because of these hot-headed unions. No, 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 no. They should be earning more money.
Yeah. Everybody should, at the end of the day.
No, I'm going to disagree with you. Not everyone should. I shouldn't. Here's the thing. I'm earning too much money. Give some back. No, I'm not going to do that. But for what my job is, the amount of money I earn is ludicrous. It's ludicrous. But that's...
Let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
Well, first of all, I just want to tie up this little bit with a statement, and that is that it doesn't matter to me about my income. As long as I've got enough to get by... I love what I do, and that, to me, I work every day, it's out of my own choice, and that's worth more than money to me, because I don't have a job where I get up in the morning and go, oh, God, is it Friday yet? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But that's worth more than money, but that just makes me quite lucky.
Yeah.
Now, the question is this, okay? How much money is too much money?
Well, that's an impossible question because the more money you earn, the more expenditure there is. If you start earning more money, then you need to kind of sustain that income to maintain to pay all the bills and stuff.
Because what's the first thing you do? You buy a bigger house. You've got a bigger mortgage, so you end up. Push to the limit whatever you're earning, unless you're earning obscene amounts and a billionaire.
Yeah.
But even then, well, you'll just buy more property.
But overstep that point.
Yes.
To the next point, yeah?
Yeah.
How much money do you have in order to never be able to spend the amount you've got? Because what I'm saying is this.
Yeah.
If you take somebody like Bezos or Mike Ashley, right?
I don't know who these people are.
Mike Ashley owns Sports Direct.
Okay, right, that guy.
Yeah, and Bezos is Amazon, right?
Amazon.
Yeah.
They've got more money than they could ever spend in their lifetime, right?
Yeah.
Now, why is it... Now, I'll say this because this is something that's quite close to my heart. If I had a level of money that allowed me to live the life I want, have the things that I want, and to be able to look after those close to me...
Yes.
If I then had a source of money coming in that was never, ever going to run out, I would use that money, that excess. Call me selfish for making sure I'm all right first, but I would use that money and I would do good with it, right?
What?
And I'm not talking about funding...
But we don't know... Hang on, but you're assuming that those two gentlemen don't do good with it. We have no idea what they do with their money. I'm sure they're very, very charitable.
You do get tax breaks for charity work, don't you?
Well, yeah, I'm sure you do. But they do pay a lot of tax. Great. Well, the Amazon as a company doesn't, but I'm sure the guy does. But we don't. You don't know. They might be doing. They might have set up a foundation. I don't know.
No. What I'm saying is, I think that living in a world whereby things. Right, me personally, if I had that amount of money, I would spend my time going to individual causes, individual people.
I bet you would.
And help, I would.
You say that because you haven't got that amount of money.
And you've got there is no chance in hell you're going to get that amount of money.
Well,
there isn't. Realistically, there isn't.
No, I don't know where I'm at. Well, no, not realistically, there isn't, but you never know. But I just think that we live in a world full of selfish people. And like the hotel, right? Hotel.
There we go.
The ones that have stepped up now and said that they're going to take those people in.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
And well done. Well done, right?
No, you're right. But I am always wary of calling out rich individuals for not giving money to charity. Because we've got literally no idea. Now, the bloke from what is it, the Sports Direct?
Yeah.
You know, the way the employees are treated is pretty rotten, all right? It certainly has been in the past. I don't know what it is now, but pretty rotten. And there seems to be a certain amount of exploitation. There was a story about them getting frisked, wasn't there, a couple of years ago?
And working for Amazon doesn't seem like a picnic.
No, but we don't know what those individual gentlemen do. They might be, you know, going to children's hospitals at the weekend and handing out the toys. We just don't know.
Well, can I just finish up by saying this?
Yes.
Right? One of the gentlemen that I mentioned, okay?
Yeah.
I'm a cab driver, as you know, and one of the gentlemen that I've mentioned had a wedding in a place very close to where I'm based.
Yeah.
Now, he spent his wedding weekend at that hotel, and all he did was give out tips of £500.
There you are, beautiful.
I find that so insulting.
Sorry?
What?
Because when you think what the average man has to do for £500...
Hang on a minute.
Yeah, but hang on.
You just called them out for not being generous with their money to those less... more needy, and now you've got actual evidence of him being generous with his money to those more needy. You're saying it's obscene.
No, you missed the point. The point is, this was a case of look at me. This was a case of.
Well, how do you know that? How do you know that? You don't know that.
Because I'm friends with the staff.
But you don't know that. Listen, if I was a waiter earning minimum wage or whatever it is, and someone gave me a tip of £500, I wouldn't be thinking, "What an absolute tosser! He gave me that is so degrading." I'd be thinking, "This is brilliant."
You take it and slag him off, or you think he's doing it for the wrong reasons and surely reject it, don't you?
Well, I think in this instance it was a case of look at me, look at what.
And
I've
your
got
evidence for that is
because of what I was told.
What were you told?
Right, that's how it was coming across.
No. What was he doing to make it seem like a look at me, Barry Big Balls? What was he doing apart from handing out £500 tips?
Well, the whole weekend he's walking around splashing his cash everywhere.
But hang on a minute! Doesn't everyone do that on their wedding weekend?
Not to that level, surely.
Well, but that's within the realms of what he can afford.
I just find it a bit of a kick in the teeth.
Why?
Why?
He's sharing the wealth with people who don't earn anywhere near as much as him. He's saying, look, I'm having a great weekend. I'm in a privileged position. Hey, thank you for bringing me my dinner. Here's £500, love. Hey, thank you very much for making my room up. Here's £500, mate. Thank you. What is wrong with that? How can you criticise him for... You said he doesn't do enough for charity when you don't know. And then he's giving tips of £500 and you're angry with him for that. You're insane.
I don't know.
Just squeezed the spot and I'm bleeding.
Said,
part of what you just said has swung me slightly, mind you, towards what you're saying. But when you see his press and you hear about his work...
I do not believe a thing I read in the press. The press is bullshine.
Let's just remember what was going on about Ian in the press when he was in the jungle.
The press is bullshine,
they like
man.
To tell a story.
Maybe he's an arrogant prig. I don't know. Maybe he is. I don't know. But you can't call... Even if he was dishing out £500 tips to show off, right? Even if he was doing it to show off, right? The impact that a £500 tip to a waiter or a waitress who's earning, I don't know, 80 quid a night? I don't know what a waitress earns. I don't know. But the impact it would have on that person's life is immeasurable, isn't it? So whatever the guy's motive was, he's had a positive impact on someone's life.
Oh, you've done it to me again.
Simon, it's quite easy to do, mate. Thank you very much indeed. 0344 499 1000. Joseph?
Hello,
Joseph.
Hi. I haven't been listening to all of that. I listened to what this person was just saying before about all the complaints and that, but this is the first time I've ever got through to talk radio.
Well done, Joseph.
I just want to actually just say I've had a lot of points, and I'm what you call the... the newer generation. I turned 30 yesterday.
Well, you're the old generation. You're not new. You're old, man.
I say I'm old, yeah, but I'm still with the new generation. I still talk to them, and I know what they're all about.
They don't want to hang out with you, though. The new generation are going, I wish this old fart would get lost.
My sister's a nurse. I just want to say my brother's a black tabby. Me, I'm just recovering from being in a coma for a year.
Wow. Why were you in a coma?
Encephalitis.
No, I don't know what encephalitis is. Obviously, it's a disease. What is that?
Swelling of the brain, which caused me epilepsy. Just water on the side of my brain. But I'm all right. Don't worry. I'm tougher than that.
Well, in that case, you're surely you're 29 then. If you're in a coma for a year, I don't think you get older in a coma, do you?
No, I don't know. Listen, I'm not a snowflake. I don't want to dwell on it. You know what I'm trying to say?
And you don't have to. Obviously, I've never spoken to anyone who's been in a coma for a year. That's why I was asking. But you carry on, man.
No, that's the way. That's why I've just got. You actually got time for me. I can't believe it. You actually got time to speak to me. Thank you very much.
Why would I not have time to speak to you?
Oh, no, that's nice. No, that's nice to know because I've been rushed a lot of time trying to.
There's no rush here, man.
And I am usually a man with more with a lot of passion. Where I bring through so much. Everyone tells me I should write a book, but you know what? There's a lot of pain and stress in this world, so everyone could write books. You know what I'm trying to say? So yeah. I don't think my one is any more special than anyone else's. But you see, what my problem is, I wasn't born here. I come here 6 months old. I come from a war zone, Somalia, and wow. All my family, they've done their part here, working, all of that. You know what I'm trying to say? Even me, but. What I feel as I do feel British, but why I don't feel British and that, and why I say is karma is coming here because you know what it is. Uh-oh. I believe I love what England's done for me, but karma is in, you know, God's work, you know, yin yang karma, whatever you want to say. I mean, without even me saying or doing anything, I just believe God. I believe God, but you could say a more higher power or whatever.
Okay. Well, what is coming here then? Something bad?
Hey, not come here like this. I mean, just in general. Come on, you know history. You must have done history.
No, but I don't. I'm just trying to. I don't know what you're saying. We have not quite got to the thrust of it yet, Joseph.
In general, like when people complain about all this badness in the world, yes. I'm not a person that goes why. I never say why. I just say things happen because it's meant to happen because there's a cycle of things. You know, do you believe if you carry on doing wrong all your life, do you think something might not come back to you? You know what I'm trying to say? In general,
no.
I've gone through karma. Can I tell you how about karma? I've been shot. I've been stabbed.
What did you do wrong to get you in a coma for a year?
I say I've done a lot of badness as a young person.
What did you do that was so bad that you deserved to be in a coma for a year?
You know what? Listen, let me say. What would I say? I've done a lot of bad. Unless I was bad to my parents, I didn't respect them.
Hang on, but loads of people do. Those are people disrespect their parents. They don't get put in a coma for a year.
I fully respect my parents. What would I say? I was a little hood rat, which you would like to say.
Hood
yes,
rat. I like that phrase.
You know what I'm trying to say? I deserved everything I've got. Let me tell you that.
You didn't deserve that. Here's the thing. You didn't deserve to be in a coma for a year just because you disrespected your parents.
Otherwise, I wouldn't be as humble as I am now. What made me so humble now?
You're the most humble guy I've ever met.
So respectful. Listen, I am scared to do a wrong because I know it'll come back to me. How about that? You know what I'm trying to say?
Okay.
You know what it is? Things have to happen to us. You know what I'm trying to say? For us to learn. That's why you smack a kid and they will learn.
No.
I'm just saying. Old school. You know what I'm trying to say?
Joseph. You don't. Here's the thing. You don't have to smack a kid for them to learn. I've never smacked my kids and I'll never smack my kids as...
Beat them up. Remember, look at my word terminology. I said... Anyway, that's the smallest thing, but I'm just trying to say...
The kid that gets smacked won't think it's a small thing, but yeah.
Why is there if there's no such thing as punishment, why is there prison then?
Hang on a minute. But punishment doesn't necessarily mean smacking a kid. I punish my kids, but I don't smack them.
But isn't prison a psychological abuse? Isn't it a mental thing?
I don't put my kids in prison either.
So I'm just saying, so why is there... you're a very humble guy. You're a very nice guy. If only the whole world was like you.
I'm enjoying chatting to you, man. I'm enjoying chatting to you. There's no rush. We've got plenty of time.
No, that's all right. It's just that a lot of things on the news and the world, it's not fair. I say they talk about injustice of the world.
Yes.
Well, we all know this injustice is being done, but I don't feel as a... you know, people say, get over it, we're over racism. I know about racism. I come here in the early 1989. I come here 6 months old. So I grew up to a lot of...
I would never say to someone, get over racism, particularly when the new... one of the new advisors promoted to UKIP is on the record. I've seen the video of describing Somalians as savages. Now, that if that's someone who's highly looked up to by some
British
people,
Somalia, I'm from British Somalia. We fought for Britain.
Yeah. But this guy who works for a party that has 4% of the vote calls Somalians savages. You know, that's kind of what you're dealing with. I get it. I would never say to you, get over racism.
But my ancestors were the, my grandparents were people that fought for the savages, if you want to call us that. We don't get credit. We don't get medals out here. We're not in the movies. We're not in the Hollywood movies ever told in a war, in the World War. Like, you know, Saving Private Ryan. Where's the Somalis there then? Where's the Somalis there? They're not in it. They're not in there, are they?
Well, I don't know. And this is a genuine question. I don't know what the Somalian contribution to World War II was. I don't know.
Go on Google, you will see them. You will see.
Okay, but have I got this right? And I don't know because I've not seen the film because it looks boring. Is Saving Private Ryan based on a true story?
Yeah.
In that case, well, I don't know if there were any Somalians involved in that particular rescue. I don't think there were. So I wouldn't take Saving Private Ryan as a racist film.
How many movies have been made? I just said one, but I just said how many movies have been made? They're quick to tell the pirate story of how we took Captain Phillips. You know what I'm trying to say?
We've never forgiven you for that.
And helicopters that got shot down in Black Hawk Down. We're famous for bringing, what's it called? Pain and terror and whatever it's called.
Certainly don't think of Somalia. I certainly don't. The reason that film got made, again, another Tom Hanks film, I think, is because it was a thrilling, exciting, tragic story. It's a story, modern-day pirates. But I certainly don't think of Somalians as a lot of dodgepots running around kidnapping people and stealing ships.
You know, when I go back to Somalia, you know, I tell my people, my cousins and the people in my neighbourhood, please don't go and die in these seas because they're coming across, jumping over from border to border, doing all of this stuff. I tell them, don't come here. I couldn't convince them to tell them that there's homeless people in England that are actually white, that are English, that have no homes. Yeah, they wouldn't believe me because all they've ever seen is England, UK portrayed Big Ben. They don't see
Big Ben.
They don't see nothing else. They wouldn't believe me.
Of course they don't. Here's the thing: no one knows what a country is like until you live in that country, and then you see what it is like, what the reality is on the streets and on the news and all of that. No one knows what it's like until you live there.
And I read a lot of study and I watch a lot of TV and I've got a lot of pain and stress. You know why I say this as an African person? Just one more thing I have to say to you,
One more thing and then I'm going to ask you one more question and then we're done.
You know the British Museum and all of this, yeah? Well, I went there as a little kid from my primary school and all of this, As an African person, I saw them debating about how they should not give back the Ethiopian gold because they might steal it. How can you steal your own stuff? Give it back to the people. How dare you?
Shut up, man. We stole that stuff fair and square. We stole that, and if you want it, you can have it. You got to steal it back.
But see, what I'm trying to say, I'm glad you said that. You know what? I want someone talking straight like that on TV. How dare they say you might steal it back? That doesn't even make sense. I like that talk.
If you guys can steal it without the alarms going off, you can have it.
No. You know what? I could have a conversation with you because you know what? I'm from the streets out here and people get their stuff taken with them. And you know what? Yeah. It is like that,
Hey, listen.
And in the real world, in the jungle, it's like that. I like to...
Joseph, I'm going to let you go because you call in anytime you want, brother. I want to ask you one question about the coma.
Yes.
Could you hear people talking to you when you were in the coma?
No, but I didn't remember my mother when I woke up.
Wow.
And I had selective memory. I remembered everyone else. So,
wow. Yeah. Hey, listen, man, give us a call again, won't you? I've really enjoyed it.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
The Late Night Alternative with Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
0344 499 1000 is the telephone number if you're going to give us a call. There is nothing in the papers today. I've got a story about Santa, I've got a story about vegans, and I've got a story about spy. That's it. That's all we've got. Here's my problem with vegans, and I do have a problem with vegans. And this, it was clarified. I read the first paragraph of an article by the man with the beard, not Father Christmas, married to Victoria Corrin. What's his name?
Has he got a beard now?
Yeah, he's had a beard for ages.
David Mitchell.
I read the first paragraph and I thought, I'm not going to read the rest because you bore me. But, a point taken. Here's my problem with vegans, all right? You ready for this? This is Zinger. So this is my beef with vegans.
I think I know what it is.
What?
They're right.
Yeah, they're right. Vegans are right. That's my problem with them. They're right.
But
that's the only problem I got with them, is that they're right. Of course it is beneath us as a species to stun sheep and put a bolt through their head just so we get a nice bit of lamb. And I love lamb. Lamb is the meat. Lamb was the one. Everyone says, I was a vegetarian for 27 years. Did you miss bacon? No. I missed lamb. I missed roast lamb. That was the one. Now I like pulled pork. We didn't have pulled pork in the 80s when I went vegetarian. Pulled pork hadn't been invented. Now pulled pork is the best with lamb. Can you pull lamb?
I bet you can pull anything.
I want pulled lamb. Can someone do some pulled lamb for me? But it is beneath us as a species to intensively farm animals and stun them and put bolts through their heads, or if you're a Muslim or if you're Jewish, slit their throats. I mean, I don't think there's much difference between a bolt and the slitting of the throat. I don't think there's that much difference. It's beneath us as a species to rip baby animals away from their mums. There you go. Yeah, we got you. It's a bit Jeff, isn't it?
Or attach probes.
Yeah.
To animals' teat, so yeah. we can suck them dry.
Well, they take the young away from them, so you have their little baby, and then within a few hours, they're off in another thing. Merry Christmas, by the way, guys. They're off in another field or another shed away from their mums. That isn't right. Yeah, to attach, you know, electronic sucking machine to their teats. But that's not all, because then they're pumped full of chemicals so that they think they've constantly just given birth. Because you know what? Cows don't produce milk all the time unless we tell them to produce milk all the time. You know, all of it is... Milk is cruel. Here's the thing. Milk is cruel. Everyone goes, well, there's the whole vegan thing around milk. That's crazy. How is milk cruel? Because we pump cows full of crap and we attach these painful machines to them and they're there for hours and it's horrendous. So my problem with vegans is they're right. There is no argument to it. Phone up, right, and argue that vegans are wrong. You can't do it. Your argument will be senseless. So I'm experiencing huge cognitive dissonance. Phrase I only learnt in the last few weeks, and I'm going to keep on. I only learnt what it meant in the last few weeks. I'm going to keep on using it. Well, your brain is holding two ideas where... It's wrong to use animals and their product, their byproducts, for food, but I really like lamb and pulled pork. I love it. And, you know, so I was a vegetarian for 26 years, and vegetarianism, it don't work. It's still leather and milk and cheese and eggs and all of that. Still, I remember as a kid, we were about six, and my sister was about nine, and we rented a caravan on a farm in probably Cornwall, I think it was. And it was nice, really nice little caravan on a farm. And one day the farmer came and said, "Do you want to come and see the chickens?" Me and my sister were like, "Whoa, yes, man. Of course we want to go and see the chickens." So we followed him and he took us to this massive metal building and he slid open the door and it was a battery farm. It was a battery farm. There were battery hens. And me and my sister were like, "Oh my God, this is horrible." And like proper old fashioned 1969 battery farm with them in tiny little. The noise, the stink, and me and my sister are like, "No, this is not right."
So you were expecting like the Tom and Jerry hen house,
yes,
where they're all like in their knitting and stuff.
Oh, it was horrible. And you know that free range hens, they still live in cages. Free range hens, they have to go and walk on grass for like an hour a day or something. Free range is not them like running around in a field.
So they get an exercise yard.
Someone phone in and let me know. The phones are dead, by the way, probably because we're going on an anti-meat rant. Someone phone in and let me know about free range hens. It's right that they can still. Is it free range or barn? I think it's free range. They can still be in cages for a significant part of the day. I think I've got that right. If there's any poultry experts out there, 0344 499 1000. So, me and Kath, we're kind of on a compromise at the moment. We're vegetarian pretty much 5 days a week. Is this week four, I think? Maybe week five? Something like that. We've done it. I think it's four or five weeks.
I must admit, I feel better.
Yeah. And neither of us particularly fancy meat, and it's not pigging out on meat at the weekend.
We've had the choice of having meat, haven't we, recently, and we decided against it.
Yeah.
Don't know what I'd do, though, if I gave up cheese.
Cheese is the thing. It would be difficult. Cheese and milk, they're a staple.
I can do that milk.
You don't like milk, do you? You're allergic to it. But the thing is, these vegans are right, and we don't, you know, we don't take the pee out of vegans on this show anyway. We certainly haven't done as far as this series is concerned, the talk radio run. I probably have done in the past, I'm sure. But it's an obvious, easy thing to you know, to laugh at vegans and poke fun at them all. And we don't do that. But I think you guys are right. I don't want to become a vegan. At the moment, I can live with the contradiction that exists in my lobes and my mental spheres. I can live with that. But, yeah, it doesn't sit comfortably with me. It's all, you know, it's all bad. I'm a little bit umming and ahhing tonight because it's day two of not taking a pill. And it's just kind of hit me about an hour before we came in. It just kind of hit me. And my brain feels a little bit... My brain feels like it's made of cotton wool. And my mouth feels very dry. And I'm struggling... let me explain for those who are not regular listeners to the show. So I'm coming off these antidepressants that I've been on for years. And I came off one set, the mirtazapine. They were great, man. They would just make you sleep. You take one and you slept. That's how I got through the jungle.
By the way, before we start getting tweets and texts...
Oh, screw those losers.
It's under the doctor's supervision.
Screw them. Screw them. Let them make up their... Let them fill their own blanks in.
They write it anyway.
Yeah, good. Let them fill their own blanks in. Who cares what those idiots think? That's how I got through the jungle, was mirtazapine. Because at night, you'd go to the thing, you'd say, could I have my meds, please? And they'd say, come back, we'll call you back in 10 minutes. Would Ian please come to the jungle room, whatever it's called, jungle room. Then you give you meds, and as I walked away, I would just pop that in my mouth and know that within 15 minutes I was going to be asleep. I was going to be out of it. And it worked every night. Beautiful. That's how you get through the jungle. Drugs. So I came off those. I don't know when I even came off those. 8 months ago, something like that. And I'm trying to come off this Effexor, this venlafaxine. And it's tough. And I'm now down to 75 milligrams either once every other day or once every third day. And so I had one... What day is it today? Tuesday?
Tuesday, yeah.
I had one Sunday then. And I might ask you to go to my car and I'm going to tell you my stash is, my stash of drugs. And I might ask you to get me one. In fact, I'm going to ask you to get me one. But we can do it in a little bit. There's no rush. But that's why I'm a little bit slurry tonight and a little bit umming and ahhing and jumping about. Now, that could mean one of several things. It could mean it's going to be an awful, awful show. Or could mean it's going to be an absolute blinder. Could mean it's going to be an absolute blinder. That's kind of what I'm thinking. Is my...
Yeah.
There it is. It's there. I can't hear anything. Can't hear anything. Mark, are you a vegan? Come on, turn your mic on. Are you a vegan?
Well, I was for about seven or eight months.
Right.
And it was amazing.
Because I saw you nodding as we were kind of talking about it a little bit. That's what made me think.
No, I agree. I think it's cruel. It's really cruel. You watch these documentaries on Netflix.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Really. I'll never watch a documentary on Netflix. But, so you were 7 or 8 months, and then what happened?
I really fancied a steak.
Yeah, isn't it?
Yeah.
Isn't it? It tastes so good. This thing, it tastes so good. There's not deny it. It tastes really good. First thing I had properly when I stopped being a vegetarian was a steak. I'd never had a steak. And I was sucking the juice off this steak. It was incredible. So you're a meat eater now?
Yeah, yeah. I want to go back to it, though, you know? I want to get back. I do really want to get out.
Thank you. Mark's Sam for tonight and this week, and he's taking the calls. If you call in, you'll speak to him. There is that kind of thing. I don't think I could... No, I could do it. Of course I could do it. We can do anything we want. We can achieve anything we want to achieve.
I've been really pleasantly surprised doing this kind of vegetarian during the week thing. And we didn't say that we were going to do 5 days, first of all. We said we'd manage a couple of days.
Meatfreemondays.com. You can do it right now, please.
But I started to experiment. BBC Good Food website, it's got some brilliant recipes. Yeah. And actually, they've been bangers, haven't they?
When I first started vegetarian, the only vegetarian restaurant was Cranks in London. There was one just off Carnaby Street, and it wasn't very nice. I mean, this is 30 years ago. It wasn't very nice. It was all very dry and brown. Everything was brown. But I don't know. I just don't know. Let's go to Paul. Good evening, Paul.
Hello. It's about vegans.
Yeah. Go on, Paul. You spit it out.
Is it right? Is it all right for them to eat vegetables?
Sorry?
That's the point, because...
That's a stupid point.
It's not.
It's a dumb, stupid point, and you know it's a dumb, stupid point.
It's not stupid, honestly.
It is. You're phoning up to say, compare eating vegetables with eating animals. You're stupid. You're an idiot.
No.
Yes, you are. You're an idiot.
No.
Let's hear your point, and it's going to make you sound and look like an idiot. Away you go. Because you think you're being clever and funny. You're not. You're being a dick. Go.
I'm not being clever and funny. I'm not.
I know you're not.
Honestly, because the point is, let me remember my point. If you don't eat anything, you'd be all right. You'd have to eat it through breath. You see, now vegans...
You'd have to eat it through breath?
Yeah, you can't...
Yeah, I've just run that sentence through the computer and it's come back as bullshine.
I'm all mixed up in my head. I'm sorry, it sounds stupid.
Yes.
But it was in my head, but then it's made me... You'll make me sound stupid, I know, but I didn't mean it.
I'm not making you sound stupid.
I know, yeah.
You're doing that, you're well.
I'm sorry, I'm doing that myself, yeah, probably.
Paul, what's... Paul, you're trying to tell me that I like you, Paul. You sound like a nice man, but you're an idiot. You're trying to tell me that eating vegetables is as bad as killing animals. Well, that's not true. Yeah, when did a leek have a baby?
Oh, they do, though.
No.
They do, though.
No.
And Paul's put this ridiculous stall up. Let him try and sell his goods.
Yeah, because I saw a very thin person when I was sat in the bank, and she walked out to the door of the bank, and she was so thin, I thought she hadn't eaten anything at all. Now, some people, even Jesus says it's all right to eat meat and anything.
Well, it doesn't matter. Well, Jesus, as we know, is a great fairy story, and I appreciate it, and I think it's a really well-written little story, but it's a story.
I don't... An example.
Okay, please do.
You see. See, if you don't eat...
So, you almost convinced me, by the way, Paul. You're winning me round. I didn't think you would.
If you don't eat meat, right?
Yes.
Yeah? What are you going to eat? You have to eat, like the vegetarians say, vegetables.
Correct, yes. Yes.
Like
vegetables, yes. We know what vegetables are.
Not toadstools, can't eat toadstools.
Mushrooms.
Yeah.
Yes?
Various other things, right.
Okay, yes.
And you mustn't... It's gone from my mind. I can't remember it now.
Should we take another call, then come back to you?
No, I'm perfectly happy to carry on.
Okay, well, I just wonder if anything is going to come out of this, because so far you've been on for 5 minutes, and you've said something about a thin person at a bank.
Oh, but we have laughed, haven't we?
Well, he's laughed. Now he's crying.
I didn't mean to confuse.
Get to the point, Paul! Oh, God, give me the strength.
Is everyone coming off medication tonight?
Paul! Oh, God. Shall we start again?
I bet it didn't.
So your argument is that Jesus saw a thin person in a bank who ate a vegetable.
Pardon?
Are you saying
aren't the vegetables they eat alive? So
this is the point I knew you were going to get to when ten minutes ago.
Vegetables themselves are alive. Yes.
Yeah, but vegetables are not sentient beings that feel pain.
Well, Prince Charles think they are.
Prince Charles is a bell.
What about a tree? Does that feel pain when you chop it down?
Do you eat trees, Paul?
Is it a happy tree?
Are you eating trees now?
Pardon? What's a tree? You can get apples from a tree. And you pull the apples off and you've killed them. You've separated them from your parents.
The apple drops them.
I mean, you're a fanny.
The apple is a very bad mother.
Paul, I got a message for you from George Galloway.
You're a fanny.
A what? Baby.
No, hang on.
You're a fanny.
A fanny?
You're a fanny.
I'm funny, yes, very good. Very
you're
good.
A fanny.
Well done. Pardon?
You're a fanny.
A pardon? What?
Am I talking to myself here? What are you beefing
I've
on about?
I've got a willy.
Oh, dear.
Thanks very much for your call, Paul. That's great, great news. Paul has got a willy. 034, that was a great conclusion to a very, very strange phone call. 03, I knew that was going to be his argument. It took us 10 minutes to get there. And we went all via a bank with a slim person in it, eating a vegetable, and Jesus. Mm-hmm.
And apple trees dropping their babies.
Oh, 03444991000. This is Talk Radio.
The Late Night Alternative with Ian Lee.
Unfiltered Night Talk with the original king of unconventional conversation on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
03444991000. By the way, we finished the show last night. And we ended with Paul Ross in the studio and miserable Keith on the line, who phones up and ruins films, just spoils the ends of films. So I'm listening to Paul on the way home. Keith comes on and ruins the end of Taxi. I don't want to spoil... I can't do his accent. I don't want to spoil the end of Taxi Driver, but it gets very violent at the end and he changes his ways. Oh. And I think, why? Just stop telling... Why are you even saying that? I'm going to say it. Keith is my least favourite caller.
Oh, no, I've got Leaster.
Oh, go on, who? Let's say it. Let's just do it. Let's just get it out there.
That horrible John that we don't talk to anymore.
Oh, ignore the banned ones.
All right. Ones that we let on. I find Paul in Stoke Poge is a buzzkill.
He
was on this week.
I know. How did that happen?
You let him on.
Mark let him on.
There are a few. There are a few.
Okay.
You know.
I do know. And here's Alistair.
Hello there.
Hello hey. There, Alistair. Season's blessings to you.
And to yourselves, Ian and Kath. I need your advice.
Okay. I would say double bag it.
What? I had a really sort of strange experience today.
Okay. Were you sober?
Oh, don't be mean.
Come on. He takes it as it comes.
I do.
Guys, it's a joke meant with love, brother. You know that. You know that. We can joke with him when he's sober. When he's drunk, we can't. That's the deal that we've made with the devil.
Anyway, the next neighbour of mine has been up to see me a couple of times.
Oh, yeah.
Because when he left, we kind of exchanged mobile numbers because he'd helped me out a couple of times with putting a gate on my garden at the back and this, that and the other. And he was... generally a nice sort of person.
Yeah.
But, and now he's gone, as I say, he lives about an hour away now. The first time he came up a couple of weeks ago, he was, because he'd been previously married for about 20 years until his partner sadly died, a lady.
There we
and
go.
He's had, I know where this is going. He's had no luck since on the sort of dating or anything. With the ladies.
With the ladies.
He's kind of...
he's broadening his horizon, shall we say.
Yes, he is.
Is he?
Yes. So he met this bloke in a cafe.
Beautiful.
There you go.
And they are sort of, you know, just getting to know each other as friends, and it all sounds very good, and we spoke about it. And I said, well, that's great.
Yeah, it's nice.
It's a good thing. So he came back to see me today. He doesn't know about my drinking problem, of course. And he kind of had been supportive with that very much so, and that's why I think we're still friends. So he came back up to see me, and he started talking about his, you know, this new friend again, and the fact that, you know, he wears women's clothing and things.
Okay. Your neighbour does, or your neighbour's new friend?
Neighbours. The ex-neighbour wears...
Okay, excellent, yeah. A lot of people do.
But then he started to go into some detail about things, about what sort of clothes. In fact, he said, oh, today I'm wearing knickers, and he called them pull-ups or something. I don't know what that
hold-ups.
Are. Those are stockings that got a little bit of tape. It means you don't need to wear suzzies. I find they don't really work very well.
Oh, yes, they do.
Okay.
You've got to hike them up quite high.
Hike them up. Okay, so he was telling you that, all right.
Yeah, so I'm kind of sitting here and I'm, you know, still encouraging him to, you know, hope everything goes well with his friends and all peace and love. I haven't got a problem with it.
No.
But then he comes out with, oh, I've ordered some shoes as well, some ladies' shoes. The next time I come up here, I could show them to you.
Okay.
And I said, you know, I thought, well, I don't really want to see them in my head. Because I've got no issue with him doing whatever floats his boat. But
yeah.
I wondered if he was trying to get me involved in some way. Maybe I was wrong. But.
Well, okay, well, this is a fascinating one, Alistair. Yeah, maybe he was. Maybe he was trying to get you involved. Maybe he wasn't. I guess the you could have just come out right and said, are you trying to get me involved? I'm slightly confused as to why you're telling me this. This is great that you found this freedom and that you're enjoying it. I just wondered what... I'm making up in my head that you want me to kind of either dress up with you or engage in some kind of sex with you, because if that's what you're suggesting, I ain't into it. And if it's not what you're suggesting, I'm really, really sorry for thinking that, but that's just where my thoughts are going. That would be okay.
Yeah, because it might just be that, you know, I imagine there are very few people he can talk to about this stuff still, because it's all so new.
Well, he hides it from his family.
Right. So he's feeling enthusiastic and he's so relieved that he can talk openly with you that maybe he's oversharing a bit. So it could be that there's nothing in it apart from, you know, look at this, you know, this is a new part of my life and I'm glad I can speak to someone about it. But if you're feeling uncomfortable and he's your friend and he's come an hour to see you, so it suggests that he does think quite a lot of you, say to him, listen, am I reading this wrong? What, you know?
Yeah. Just be honest with him, I guess.
Yeah, I think so.
I think that, and by the way, I'm fully aware that dressing up in clothes of the opposite sex doesn't necessarily have to be a sexual thing. I'm just kind of putting myself into I'm verbalising what I imagined Alistair was thinking.
If you're feeling vibes, Alistair, then, you know.
Yeah, you've got to trust your vibes. It's a weird one, isn't it? Because also, everyone is entitled to not feel... threatened is slightly the wrong word, but it's the only one I can think of at the moment. Uncomfortable in their own house.
Yeah.
So you're entitled to not feel uncomfortable in your own house, but also, you know...
You have to be open-minded about things.
Well, open-minded, I think, is slightly the wrong word. It's like... question why you felt uncomfortable.
I think it was just the detail. Like, he was talking a little bit about how he sees his relationship with this bloke is going to progress.
Yeah.
But he's going to take on the role as a lady, I think.
Okay.
If they sort of become intimate. And he did speak about the fact that he gave him a French kiss.
Okay.
And then it was wonderful and everything. I don't know. I feel bad in a way because maybe I am being just oversensitive and, you know, and I don't think he was trying, you know, looking back. He hasn't crossed the line with me. He's just, as you say...
Here's the thing. Right, I've got it. And I was trying to work out whether this was transphobic or homophobic or whatever, and it's not. It's not because I've got it now. You are well within your rights, particularly within your own home, to say... And the thing that makes me think this isn't transphobic or homophobic is I was going through the scenario with a heterosexual person, and it still works. So you could you're allowed to say, and Catherine will check me if I'm wrong on this. Look, this kind of conversation about physical intimacy is actually making me feel a little bit uncomfortable. It's a little bit more detail than I need. I'm glad you found someone. You know, I hope it's great. And I'm happy to kind of hear about how the relationship is progressing, but the physical stuff, actually, I don't want to know that. And I would feel as comfortable saying that to a gay person or a transsexual as I would to a heterosexual person.
Yeah,
if the detail was too intimate for me, I would happily say, I don't really want to know that.
Wonder how your partner would feel about you sharing this level of detail with me, and I'm not sure it's appropriate.
Yeah, you are within your rights to say that. That is not phobic in any way. That is setting safe and healthy boundaries, which you're entitled to do in life. You're particularly entitled to do within your own living room.
Yes, yes.
You know, if there's anywhere that we should be able to feel 100% safe, then it's it's on our own sofas.
But at the same time, you know, it's flattering that this person feels so comfortable with you that they can talk. Yeah. I mean, it's been years of what it sounds like. It's been years of sort of fighting a feeling, and finally, that's a feeling that they're able to explore. It might be that this is just kind of over exuberance and a rush of relief. But if you're feeling uncomfortable about it, if you were in their position, you would want to know, wouldn't you? You wouldn't want someone to be dreading you coming round in case you tell them too much. So, just remember that person that you've known for all that time,
or give it a go. No, I don't say that. My tongue is slightly in my cheek, but it's only slightly in my cheek. You know, if maybe give it a go.
So what was that, Ian, you said, the last thing?
I said, give it a go.
Oh, for me to
buy some pants. Buy some ladies' pants and put them on.
Well, as I say, I don't have a problem with it, but that isn't my shtick.
Then that's fine. If it's
not
your shtick...
they're not massively roomy, to be honest.
Then leave your shtick where it is.
Yeah.
Don't try and squeeze your shtick into something as tight and as small
and
as that.
They are getting smaller.
Isn't it?
They're getting very small, pants.
Alistair, thank you for that, mate. Tutty bye. 0344 499 1000 is the phone number. This is Talk Radio.
A star-crossed soapbox for sailor boys, stable girls.
Well, I'm on the edge.
And stripper grands.
It depends who you're with, and it depends on the situation.
Late night speech radio with a difference.
Thank you.
The late night alternative with Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
Hello, is that balcony shirts in Uxbridge?
Yes, it is, yeah.
Would you do a racist T-shirt for me if I give you a racist slogan? Would you do one for me, please?
I'm afraid we absolutely can't do racist T-shirts, but we can do sexist or homophobic.
It's really the Asians that I want to shout about on a T-shirt.
Who the hell's that?
03444991000. That's my mate Scott, who's working late tonight.
Yeah, watch out for the secret shopper.
Ooh, yeah! Gotcha! I gotcha! Does homophobic T-shirts? Interesting. I know for a fact that he has had to turn down racist, like, proper, full-on race. Yeah. People have gone with racist slogans. He's a T-shirt printer. He's great. And he designs all my record covers and things for the label I do. And people are going with, like, really racist stuff, and he just goes, I can't print that.
He's told me about some of the stuff he's put on hen night T-shirts.
Oh, it's disgusting. He does that. It's disgusting. Good evening, Abby.
Hi.
Hey, Abby. How you doing?
I'm not too bad. Just finished a long day.
Oh, what you been doing today? Tell us about today.
I've just been working.
Oh man, my day was long. Right, get this. I had to sit through a pantomime today.
Oh my God, really?
Yeah, I sit through a pantomime. I really enjoyed it actually. I went with my boys, obviously, and we had a good old laugh. And there was a bit where, during the 12 Days of Christmas, they chucked out toilet rolls into the audience, and my eldest caught it and lobbed it back on the stage.
Beautiful.
And then my youngest got squirted in the face with a water pistol. So we had a good old time. But get this, right? There were two people in the pantomime that I didn't think were very good. And I was up for one of the roles. I nearly got one of the roles, and then it went this other way, for obvious reasons. But there were two people, they weren't very good.
I'm going to tell you something now.
Yeah?
The names,
yeah,
unless they're seasoned performers, like, and they get, you know, for example, I saw Denise from Five Star as the fairy Bo Bells. Amazing.
Yeah.
Because she's a singer.
Yeah, yeah.
But often the names are crap, aren't they?
Well, no. I
mean, crap acting.
Well, no. Because I would have thought that the man, I would have thought you would have been all right. The man out of the two people. I'm deliberate. I don't want to be mean.
Oh, so just a man.
I don't want to be mean and say.
No, don't.
I don't want to be mean and say who they were. I don't want to be mean and say who they were, so I won't. But two people, I just set their rubbish. And one of them, you could almost see her counting the steps. I'm bad. Two,
but
three, four. Da,
da, da. Don't hate the player, hate the game.
Well, no.
Someone's hired them.
The game, they should have hired me.
Exactly.
Bill Kenwright should have hired me. My mate Joe Pasquale's going to get me a gig next year. By the way, Joe Pasquale, who I'm now best friends with, I texted Joe Pasquale. He's going to be in the studio early next year. He's coming in the studio, and he's going to get me a job in pantomime next year. So that is happening. Anyway, Abby, what can I do for thee?
I was ringing up to discuss the animal welfare stuff.
Yeah,
yay.
Go on.
Yay, no, I was just reading. I know, it's such a one of them subjects, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm guessing this is to do with the Waitrose thing and the vegan
no.
activists and stuff.
No, there's no news hook.
No.
Oh, okay. Well, basically...
Were you listening?
I was. I caught right at the end.
Okay, right. No,
I was just discussing vegetarianism.
Yeah, just talking about it. No, I don't know what the story is about Waitrose. So no, it's nothing to do with that.
Oh, no, when I searched the number, it came up on the webpage. I thought that might be what you were talking about.
Oh, it's on our webpage. No. Oh, God, we're not
regardless
that.
Regardless of that.
Regardless of that. So, just chatting. Just chatting.
I've been a vegetarian, basically, my whole life.
Right.
Never ate meat.
Oh, never?
Oh, really? Because, your parents are veggies, are they?
They were, yeah, when I grew up, yeah. Hmm. So I've never tried it, apart from the odd cross-contamination in a restaurant.
Yes.
Which I don't take half as seriously as if it was for religious
belief. I was a vegetarian. For 26 years, and if something got cooked in goose fat or something, and I asked, okay, fine, well, I'd rather it didn't, but, you know, whatever. Okay, so, yes, continuez-vous, s'il vous plaît, madame?
No, I was actually just going to talk about this thing that was on your webpage.
Go on, what is the story then? Because I don't know it. What is it?
Oh, this about the vegan activist that says in 40 years they believe that it's going to be total animal liberation. And I think it's completely naive to think that. As what? A lifelong vegetarian, yeah. I do not... And I've been a chef for the last 10 years, so yeah. I've happily cooked prepared meat.
Yeah.
That it's completely naive.
Why?
To think.
Tell me why.
Because being a vegetarian is a choice, the same choice as eating meat.
Yeah.
I do also agree 100% that, yes, we should have better way of looking after these animals. But yeah. I think it's completely naive to think that people are going to stop.
Being a vegetarian is a cop-out, though, isn't it?
Do you think?
Yeah.
Go on, elaborate.
Because you're still engaged in animal cruelty.
To some extent, yeah.
Yeah. So... Well, you are to an extent. If I'm assuming you drink milk and you eat cheese and have eggs, so that you are engaged in animal cruelty. So it's a cop out.
I don't eat eggs. I'm just going to throw that one out there, but that is me personally. But as a vegetarian, most vegetarians do, but I don't.
Okay, but you drink milk.
Occasionally, yeah.
Okay,
yeah, I'm not vegan.
Okay, well,
I eat cheese.
Okay, so you drink milk and you eat cheese. Well, that's incredibly cruel and painful to the cows involved, isn't it?
Yeah, I can believe, I do understand that, but I still think it's, not the same as eating.
Well, no, it is. It's, in fact, it's worse than eating meat. Yeah, drinking milk and eating cheese is worse than eating meat.
Right, okay, I don't really agree with that, because...
I'm happy to explain
yes,
it.
They are being farmed in a certain way.
Because they have their kids, they have babies, and the babies are ripped away. The babies aren't allowed to have their mum's milk. The babies are ripped away from them as soon as they are born. They're then hooked up to machines and continually injected with chemicals that make them constantly feel like they've just given birth. So it's painful. So it's a torture. Whereas if you let me finish the point. Okay, if you let me finish the point. If you're getting a bit of beef, that animal is being led to death. It has to do the walk of shame to death with all of its friends, hearing, and tests have proven the animals in the queue know what's going on in front. They know what's going on. As soon as they start hearing that stuff, they try and back out of the queue, right? But they go in and bishy bashy boshy, they get the electric shock and then they get killed and they're dead. So they're dead in about 10 minutes, right? Whereas the milk is continuous torture for months, years. And you're cool with that. That's a cop-out.
Okay, I hear your point. But equally, I think cows, yeah, that's one argument, but then if you discuss...
cows is quite a big argument.
Cows is a big argument, but equally they pump the cows that are used for meat full of antibiotics. And
yeah, but that's why but what you're doing is a cop-out.
So you believe that everyone should be vegans?
I'm starting...
Who have an opinion.
Sorry?
On anything to do with that. Do you know what I mean? Who have an opinion in that area?
What? I don't understand that last point.
You can't have an opinion unless you're like a vegan, because there's no leg to
No, I didn't say that at all. I didn't say you couldn't have an opinion. What?
That's crazy.
No, I know. I didn't mean it like that. I just meant, like, because a vegetarian obviously has some animal product that they're not...
Well, it's got to be. As I'm getting older and older, I'm starting to realise it's got to be all or nothing, surely. There's no point in going, I'm going to be nice to these animals, but these ones I'm going to put through torture.
I do hear your point.
Come on. You know it. You know it, Abby. You know
I do understand your point.
You know
I
it.
I do get it.
You know it.
But equally...
You know it.
I still think...
You know it. You know it. Come on. You know it, Abby. You know I'm right. Abby! Abby, you know I'm right!
I do understand your point. I do get it.
We're drowning in a sea of contradiction. Our lives are meaningless.
I'm just going to go throw my milk in the bin. Just hang on a sec.
Well, no, don't. No, do
you waste it. I mean, they've tortured them for nothing.
Drink it first.
I'm joking.
I love a glass of cold milk. And listen, I'm a walking contradiction. I'm not having a go at you.
But
as I'm getting older and older, I'm starting to think that vegans are actually right. Could I commit to being a vegan? I don't know if I could, Abby. Like I said, I was a vegetarian for 26, 27 years, and I'm sort of now a vegetarian 5 days a week. But that's
a
cop out.
When I was a kid.
Yeah.
Like, we get shipped down to the high street on a Saturday morning to Holland and Barrett to buy in other shops, obviously, but to go and buy all our, like, soya and all that stuff because it was not readily available.
Yeah.
It was a big commitment 30 years ago.
Yeah. Yeah, it was. It was hard work 30 years ago, wasn't it? It was tough.
You couldn't eat out in restaurants. It wasn't something that was accessible.
It was always either macaroni cheese or pasta bake was what you'd get. It would be the vegetarian option.
A pie.
Yeah.
At my friend's house from school because none of the parents knew what to cook me.
Hey, by the way, just I've been eating meat the last couple of Christmases, but one of the great joys of being a vegetarian at Christmas was Marks and Spencer's would do the most amazing, and they just do them at Christmas, and I never knew why. They would do the most amazing nut roasts, like really intricate. And people go, "Oh, nut roast? No. This stuff was amazing." Do they still do those, Abby?
I don't know. I'm not.
She's a chef. She can do her own, but it's better.
I'm not going to lie.
All right, Abby. Listen, hey, nice one. Thank you for bringing that story, and thank you for being a good sport.
No, it's all right. Anytime.
Cheers, my dear. Ta-ta. Bye-bye. 03444991000. Chris, Carl, stay there. This is the Late Night Alternative on Talk Radio.
Experience the unconventional.
Hello.
The unpredictable.
Don't you think that's a bit weird?
And the completely unorthodox.
It was my birthday.
With rule-free Ian Lee.
I was just trying to generate a bit of content.
The Late Night Alternative with Ian Lee.
Hate alarm clock. Hate going to work.
On Talk Radio.
Let's go to John. Good evening, John.
Morning, Ian. Yeah, evening, Ian. You're like first-time caller. A bit nervous.
Hey, nice one, man. Thank you very much for calling. What can we do for you?
First of all, I'd like to echo the sentiment to everyone and say well done to you and Kath for how you handled the call.
Thank you, John.
Circumstances. Secondly, you've also helped me along the way. I lost my dad about 18 months ago.
Ah, mate, I'm sorry.
Been counselling and antidepressants and not sleeping through the night and stumbled across the show. And just listening to other people and stops you thinking about things that you shouldn't be thinking about and keeping it awake. So,
yeah.
You know, it's just that it's not always the people that are on the show that you're helping. It's also a lot of people just listening who haven't phoned in. I just want to thank you for that.
Oh, mate, thank you. I'm sorry for the loss of your dad. It's a tough one, isn't it? It's a real tough one. How are you doing at the moment?
Still find it pretty hard. Still on antidepressants and that, but started a quickly job to look after me dad so that he didn't have to go in a home and that.
Yeah.
He's like, not just me dad, he's my best friend, and people say it gets easier. Well, I don't really think that's true.
It changes, I think. I don't know if it gets easier, but it changes. The grief changes and becomes something different. I found when my dad died.
Yeah. Yeah, it's pretty tough, but I've got my mum and I'm trying to be strong for her, but...
Well,
it took me long enough to get to the counsellor and think about antidepressants. I never really thought I'd ever have to do anything like that, but you don't know until things happen, I suppose.
No, you don't, and it's medicine. That's all it is, it's medicine, because you're not well. That's it. How are you finding the counsellor? Because some people... I love it. I love sitting down for someone for an hour, 50 minutes... And I will, you know, first session, they'll get my whole life. But I know a lot of people struggle with it. How are you finding it?
Well, at first it was supposed to just be 8 sessions, and the first session when I went in, I just pretty much broke down for 45 minutes.
Yeah.
Explained everything. There's no point doing things like that if you're not going to be honest with him.
Yeah, exactly. You can't go in and go, yeah, everything's all right, I'm fine, thanks. Yeah, I think we're exactly. done here.
I think you've just got to share everything and probably talk to the counsellor things that I didn't to my mum and my sister were going through the same as me because they're going through enough as it is without me putting extra burden on them. Even though they wouldn't have thought it was like that, but, you know, you do think that.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I think the counsellor certainly helped me.
Good, good. Glad to hear it.
Emotionally, so... But it was really just a thank you and Kath for, you know, like I say, it's people, not just people who were ringing in, it's others that you're helping by listening.
And thank you for reminding us, because I certainly forget that from time to time. I'm sure you probably do as well, Kath. We forget... We're always amazed that people listen to this rubbish, right, John? And whenever we go out and people, you know, sometimes people will recognise us in the street. And we went to an event a couple of months ago after we'd had, like, an argument on air. And one of the ushers said, have you two made up now? And it was the weirdest thing. We're like, what? How does he know? Oh, yeah, he was listening. So you saying that is very comforting, and it's a lovely reminder, brother. So thank you. And you know, I hope you find the peace that you're looking for.
Well, we'll get there, I suppose, yeah.
You will.
And by the way, I'm the one who keeps trying to get you to come at Middlesbrough. It's only Middlesbrough up north.
But this guy's a troll. I've been comforting an online troll on this phone call. Yeah. We don't travel up north.
Well, we have. We were in Newcastle waiting for you for ages and you didn't come, so...
That might have been before I started listening.
Well, we'll come back to Newcastle again just for you, John.
Can you make it Middlesbrough instead? They're a bit strange up there, some of them.
Hey, no, it might be Newcastle again, because we found the most amazing, like, barbecue.
Yeah, but we're not eating meat at the moment. We'll have to go on a weekend.
Yeah, we'll do it on a weekend, yeah.
Fill our boots.
Hey, John, listen, I'm going to, over Christmas, I'm going to kind of look at doing putting another little tour together, and I will definitely consider Middlesbrough, mate, so we can see you.
Lovely. Thanks very much.
Nice one, man. Take care. Again. Thank you. Oh, I cut him off. Sorry, I cut you off. Sorry. Let's go to Marilyn. Good evening, Marilyn.
Hello, Ian and Kath.
Hey, Marilyn.
I've just gone through the trauma with you. How marvellous you've handled that.
Well, you're very kind. How are you feeling after that, Marilyn? Because it was stressful for us, and it's just kind of dawning on me. Actually, it was probably quite stressful for the listener as well. So how are you feeling?
My neck was in a knot, and once the police came, I was crying my eyes out.
Oh, mate. Oh.
And I rang my son, he's working away, and I rang him. I says, Ian and Cal's just saved a life. It was really traumatic, wasn't it? You two must feel marvellous. I don't think you need worry about your contracts.
I don't know if that... Well, you listen.
I think you're safe there. There might be an uprising if you didn't.
Well, you're very, very kind. You sound like a sensible lady. What are you doing listening to these two idiots bang on?
Oh, because I'm a very old, sensible, poorly lady, and I stay up half the night and I've got a lot of problems.
But why don't you listen to, like, Radio 4 or 5 Live, like a proper radio show?
Run away to hell. I like listening to this each night.
Bless you.
Put the telly off at 10 o'clock and...
Oh, mate.
And then I can lie in the dark and...
Do what? What are you doing?
Rest my eyes and...
Are you doing anything else?
I just had an eye operation on Friday, so
ooh.
I can't see for long. I've got a few
When you had an eye operation, it wasn't that laser thing, was it, where they burn a bit of your eye off?
It was a cataract.
Oh, blimey.
Oh, no, that's messy, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, I've got a black eye.
Yeah.
I look dreadful. I don't go out the house.
Well, but
luckily you can't see it,
so you're all right. But is it going to get better? Are you going to be able to see for longer?
Oh, yes.
Okay, good. Yeah. Good. Well, that's what it's all about. Yeah. You rest and recuperate. Are you going to be well by Christmas?
Well,
There's a lot of other health problems, which we're not going to, because we're having a nice night.
We're just having a nice, lovely, lovely, lovely chat.
I'll be all right. I cope with things.
Well, listen, Marilyn, you give us a call any time you want. You don't have to be alone. We will always be happy to have a chat with you, all right?
All right, see you. I'm all right on my own. I'm my own company. I get odd visitors, and my sons are both away, you know, but they come. I had my son from Scotland at the weekend, and he came down, and the other one's down in London at the moment.
Yeah.
Well, he's too busy sitting working, and I rang him, and he says, I'm still working.
Oh, blimey. Hey, are you going to see him over Christmas?
Yeah, I'm going to that son's for me Christmas dinner.
Oh, beautiful.
I'm not bothered. I don't eat very much, but... No.
Like a little bird.
All I want is theirs, that's all.
Hey, Marilyn, you tell them from us they've got to treat you like a queen. I'm sure they don't need telling, but that's our orders.
Oh, I'm very lucky. I've got two lovely sons and six lovely grandparents, so...
Wonderful.
All right, my dear. Listen, I'm going to let you go because I want to quickly say hello to Nigel, but hopefully we'll speak again before Christmas. But if not, have a lovely time, won't you?
You too, and you deserve it, and give yourselves a pat on the back for tonight.
Thank you, Marilyn. God bless you. Thank you very much indeed. 03444991000. Nigel.
Hello.
Hello, Nigel.
Hello, Ian.
Nigel, we have to
hello,
go...
Hello, Catherine.
Hiya, Nigel.
We have to go to the news.
I've got a song after the news, a new one you haven't heard before.
Oh, is it...
A recording on CD.
Is it a song that you've written, or is it...
No, it's Ladies of Tramp. It's a proper recording with a proper orchestra in the background.
And you'll be singing live?
It's a recording, but properly done, you know, nicely done.
The recordings don't... come over.
Well, this one is quite good. I've just listened to it.
I can
also sing with it.
Let's do that. Let's discuss this after the news, Nigel. Stay there, we'll come to you in a minute.
Yeah, fine. I want to talk about other things.
I bet you do. And normality resumes. 03444991000. When we come back, we've got Nigel, we've got Joan, we could have you, dear listener. This is the Late Night Alternative, weeknights from 10 with Ian Lee and Catherine Boyle on Talk Radio.
Moonlit musings from mums, madams, and meat packers.
Oh, never mind, I must have misheard.
The Late Night Alternative with Ian Lee.
The station's brilliant.
On Talk Radio.
03444991000 is the phone number. Let's go to Nigel.
Hi, Ian. Hello, Catherine.
Hey.
You sound drunk, Nigel.
Pardon? I'm tired.
You sound drunk.
I'm not drunk, are you?
No, I'm tired. I've been a lot tireder since I lost Mum. You know, I think it's a shock. I just sit there and drop off easily, you know.
Yeah, it's emotion.
I think it's that, you know. It is obvious. It is because I'm missing her, you see. She's not there and she's always been next to me to talk to.
Yeah.
And the hardest thing, guys, is I've got to take flowers over Christmas. Take the flowers to the grave because I must do that. I always did that for me dad, to take a bunch of flowers, Ian. It's going to be so difficult to take the flowers because I've only been twice to the grave in 3 months, you know. What do you think I should do?
Well, you have to do whatever your heart tells you to do.
I must go to the grave. I wanted to go today, but I keep putting it off, you see.
You don't have to go.
I do need to take flowers to the grave.
What your heart is telling you to do, then do it.
I've got time anyway because I've got a few more days. It doesn't have to be until Christmas Day, really, does it, if I want to go?
It can be whenever you want it to be.
But I understand what the other guy was talking about, you know, the antidepressants and things, and not sleeping as well.
Yes.
Because I can only sleep in the mornings and not at night at all.
Yep.
Because my mind's too active and I find myself, you know, washing up or washing and, you know...
Yeah, you're a nighttime person. I'm a nighttime person.
But you don't sleep all the morning, do you?
Well, it depends what I'm doing. Sometimes I do. Tomorrow I won't. Tomorrow... I'm going to be up about 7 o'clock when my kids all day.
Here's the thing, Nigel. Yeah. If you stay up all night, of course you're going to sleep in the morning. That's where your body clock will reset itself.
And I feel guilty for sleeping. I feel guilty for sleeping in the morning.
What are you missing by sleeping in the morning?
Pardon?
What are you missing by sleeping in the morning?
Well, the weather's bad to go out cycling anyway, you know, if I want to
go on your bike. So you're missing nothing, so there's nothing to feel guilty about?
But I always do 20 miles in the afternoon, which is quite a lot for me age, you know, to the shops, 20 miles. And that keeps me fit, the cycling. But that's probably why I'm so tired, isn't it?
That'll all be adding to it, yeah, Nigel.
Yeah. But I'm much tireder since she's gone.
Yeah, well, it's a stress, and that exhausts us.
I've got a new video that I made in a cafe today. Someone filmed me, and you can see my new hairdo if you like to have a look.
I'm okay for the moment, Facebook, but thank you for the offer.
But will you have a look later on? Then?
No, I probably won't.
Oh,
so
it's a new video. So I'll sing this.
Just to say, Nigel, as we've said before. Please let me finish.
Yeah.
As we've said before, just playing CDs down the phone, it might be a really good quality recording.
Well, actually, this is a
please
tape.
Let me finish,
it might
Nigel.
Be clear. It's a tape. It
Nigel?
Might be clearer. Yeah.
Can I finish?
Yeah, sorry.
Right. Playing a CD down the phone sounds awful on the radio.
This one might not, because it's
clear. It might not, Nigel. What do I know? I've only been doing five shows a week pretty much non-stop for the last 15 years. What do I know? All right, let's listen to it then.
It's a bit late for me to sing through a microphone.
Okay, fine. Let's listen to it, but if it sounds rubbish, I will have to cut you off.
Oh, it doesn't sound rubbish.
No?
The next time I call in to do a song, I use the karaoke machine and sing with a microphone.
If it sounds rubbish to us this end, I will have to cut you off.
Well, it's not rubbish.
No. If you listen to what I'm saying, if it sounds rubbish to us this end, I will have to cut you off.
Do you like the song My Way?
No, I hate it.
Oh.
Schmaltzy rubbish.
Oh, well, that's what Robbie Williams did in his concert for the Sinatra concert.
Just one song.
Catherine was talking about.
Just did the one song.
I wasn't talking about it.
No. Okay, so let's hear the song, Nigel.
This is Ladies' Tramp. Okay, I'll fire away.
Fire away.
You do understand about me missing Mum, don't you?
Of course I do. I'm taking
antidepressants and I still can't sleep at the right time, you know.
Yeah, well, it is. It sucks.
It'll take a long time to get over it, won't it?
Yeah, it will. It will.
Well, maybe a few years, I don't know.
Well, I don't know if you ever do get over someone passing.
I'll never get over missing her, really.
No.
As I said
to a previous caller, it changes. The pain doesn't go away. It just changes into something else.
I think she's given me strength to carry on and do lots more different things, you know, that I haven't done before.
Yeah, like Ladies of Tramp.
No.
No, come on.
You know, washing the sheets, which I've never done before, because she's always done it for me.
Okay, well, Dad, someone was washing the sheets, certainly for you. So, Nigel, let's hear this song.
At least I'm laughing instead of crying.
Exactly. So let's hear this song.
Here we go. Okay, all right.
Here we go.
Coming on.
Yeah, okay, mate.
She gets too hungry for dinner at 8.
And normal service now resumes.
She likes the pizza, but never comes late. She won't bother with people that she hates.
Hey! Yeah.
That's why the lady... She don't like crack games with barons and O's. Won't go to Harlem.
Why do we let him do this?
The soft touches.
You really are.
With the rest of the girls. That's why lady
find out.
The
interesting thing, though. We won't sing through the microphone because of the neighbours, but this sounds pretty loud to me.
Life without care.
Imagine living next
to you. She's broke in California.
California!
That's why the lady is a tramp.
Yep. Do, 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 do.
Zab, zab, zab,
zab, zab, zab, zab, zab, zab, zab, zab, zab, zab, zab, zab, zab, zab, zab, zab, zab, zab, zab, zab, zab, zab, zab, zab, zab, zab, zab, zab, zab, zab, zab, zab, zab, zab, zab, zab, zab, zab, zab, zab, zab, zab, zab, zab, zab, zab, zab, zab, zab, zab, zab, zab, zab, zab, zab, zab, zab, zab, zab, zab, zab, zab, zab, zab, zab, zab, zab, zab, zab, zab, zab, zab, zab, zab, zab, zab, zab, zab, zab, zab, zab, zab, zab, zab, zab, zab, zab, zab, zab, zab, zab, zab, zab, zab, zab, zab, zab, zab, zab, zab, zab, zab, zab, zab, zab, zab, zab, zab, zab, zab, zab, zab, zab, zab, zab, zab, zab, zab, zab, zab, zab, z
Nigel.
He's got no words, hasn't he?
Make it end.
Oh, is he gone?
Nigel? Hello?
Hello?
Hello? Hello?
Yeah, I'm here.
Is it?
I'm here.
Okay. Well, that was all right.
It wasn't too bad, was it?
It wasn't too...
That was a few years ago.
Oh.
So I might have improved a bit by then.
Well, you say California.
Yeah.
Yeah. All
right. I didn't say it right, did I?
Yeah. All right, well, thanks for that.
Sort of a karaoke thing, wasn't it, really?
Well, singing along to a backing track, yeah.
No,
yeah.
Do you know what?
Oh, thanks for playing it anyway. I appreciate it.
Catherine's speaking now.
You did a good. Yeah. You did a good job, Nigel.
Your mum will be proud.
Was it as good as Robbie Williams?
Oh, miles better than him. He doesn't sing. He just sticks the microphone out to the audience.
Much better than Robbie Williams.
Yeah, I thought he had a good voice.
No, yeah. lousy American cabaret singer voice.
Oh, but the group he was in. What was the group? Take That, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Do you know the song Making Plans for Nigel by XTC?
Oh, yeah, I do know that. Do you want me to learn it?
Yeah, I keep getting requests. Isaac has just sent it in, but every time you come on, someone else says, can you get him to do Making Plans for Nigel?
Yeah, but it wasn't meant for me to sing because it's about me, but...
Yeah, well, maybe you could learn that. That would be fun.
I've got it on YouTube.
Something a bit more modern, isn't it?
ACD, what was it, ACD or something?
XTC.
ACC?
XTC. XTC.
Yeah, that's right. It's on YouTube. I'll have a look at it tonight and see if I can sing it next time then.
Yeah, it'd be wicked. We'd really look forward to it.
It'd be good if I could learn it, wouldn't it?
It would be something. All right, then.
It might be difficult, but I'll try.
All right, Nigel.
Thanks, Ian.
Bye.
Bye. God bless. Bye.
03444991000. Joan, you're next. This is the Late Night Alternative on Talk Radio.
Experience the unconventional.
Hello.
The unpredictable.
Don't you think that's a bit weird?
And the completely unorthodox.
It was my birthday.
With rule-free Ian Lee.
I was just trying to generate a bit of content.
The Late Night Alternative with Ian Lee.
Hate alarm clock. Hate going to work.
On Talk Radio.
Let's go to Joan. Good evening, Joan.
Hello, Ian and Pat.
Hello, hey. Joanie, Joan.
How are you doing?
All the better for hearing you.
Yeah, I went to bed at 8 o'clock. I was tired. And I've got to wear one of my headphones on me because I've got tinnitus.
Yeah.
And I fell asleep and I woke up to this traffic. I thought, don't have this traffic near me. And then I heard you shouting. I thought, I hope that man don't get killed. Anyway, less of that. My daughter,
we hope the same thing.
My husband's in a nursing home on the other side of Leeds.
Yeah.
He's deaf, blind and can't walk.
Yeah.
But he wears headphones if he'll wear them. Earphones, but he won't wear them.
Oh.
Hearing aid, I mean.
Yeah.
So I had a good go at him the other week. I said, you're too much on your backside. I said, get out of that headphone and join in to people here. Because they have all sorts going for them, you know. They have babies coming, animals, a man playing the organ, he won't join in. So he told me to shut up.
Oh.
So I did. And I wouldn't give him a kiss when I left him either.
Oh.
Anyway, my daughter went to see him this week and she rang me last night. I could have jumped over the moon. She said, I went to take Leslie's slippers he wanted, but they won't fit him. So I said, I'll take them back and I'll get some more. He said, that's a waste of money. She said, no, I've got them on the protect that precinct that if he's not right, they can change them. So he says, well, how long will you be? She said, I don't know why. She says, I'm going to play bingo.
Oh.
Oh.
Second one at Karen's is going to help me.
Hey, Joan, said, tough love. It seems to work.
Hey, that's all right, isn't it? Well done.
And they said that three men want to play dominoes with me because they've got some real dominoes. So I felt like jumping over the roof. Oh, I was pleased. I rang my two friends to tell them as well because they've seen me down, you know. So I felt a bit, said, I'll be going to see him on Saturday and then Christmas Day morning.
Hey.
Till tea time, and then I'm going to my daughter's for my Christmas dinner.
You're a... Whoa, hang on. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Hang on, Joe. Are you telling me you have your Christmas dinner in the evening?
Yeah,
that is insane.
All the family go, the
that
children.
Is... No, no, no. Christmas dinner should be about 2 o'clock in the
Christmas
afternoon.
Tea. time.
Christmas dinner should be about 2 o'clock in the afternoon.
Yeah, well, that would have meant me leaving Leslie, you see.
Yeah, well, I
she's got things to do, people to see.
It doesn't feel right. Christmas dinner in the evening?
She's not inviting you.
At tea time? I wouldn't go. Oh, Joan.
Yeah.
So I've got a problem, right? So I've just moved into this tiny little kind of, it's like a village, it's a street, right?
Mm-hmm.
Miles from anywhere, and there's a few houses and that's it. So today the doorbell rang, and I went and I opened it, and there was a young lad there. He's about 13, right? And he's the lad who lives two doors down to the left. And I went, all right. And he said, wanted to know, Mum and Dad want to know if you want to come round for Christmas drinks.
Oh, that's nice.
No. Okay, when? He said Christmas Eve. And I said, oh, I think I'm going to my sister's. What time? And he said, about 1:30 in the afternoon.
Uh-oh.
Right? I'm not going to my sister's. If I go, it'll be probably Christmas Day morning or Christmas Eve night. I'm going to be in at that time of the day. And I went, oh, okay. Well, let me get back to you. Now, here's the thing, Joan. I'm not very good in social situations. They're really nice people. I've not met the mum and dad yet, but they've given me a card and I've knocked on their door a couple of times. And it's a really, really nice family, OK? It's a really lovely, warm, beautiful gesture to make to a new neighbour that they've never met. But I'm not very good. I'm not good in those situations. And now I'm panicking. And the only conclusion, the only option I can see... I've got to move house again before Christmas Eve.
Yeah.
I've got to move.
Oh, Joan, what a misery he is. Can you have some strong words with him like you did to your husband? Get a flipping rocket under his chair.
Pardon?
Nothing, doesn't matter.
I can't go round there, Joan!
You can.
I can't! You're all a bit silly, isn't it?
Well, Ian?
Yes?
Why did the golfer wear two pairs of trousers?
In case case his balls fell out?
In case he got all in one.
I heard a joke. I heard a good joke on this Bob Hope Bing Crosby film. What was it? It was a really good gag. I can't think what it was. Joan, lovely to talk to you, and well done. You've done well.
Yeah, I jumped over the roof last night, I'll tell you.
All right, I'll see you soon, Joan. Take care, love.
Yes, thank you. Merry Christmas to you all.
And you and your family. And your
what you did.
Weird, dirty habit of having Christmas dinner in the evening. It's disgusting. See you later, Joan. Take care, love. Bye. Vincent Bugliosi. Thank you, everybody. Some book. Helter Skelter. Yes. Manny.
Good evening.
Hey, I was thinking about you today.
Was you?
Yeah, wondering how you were getting on.
Oh, fine. Don't go away. You did a great job. All of you there, actually, all of you that worked there today. It's not the first person you've helped, and you helped me before, if you remember.
Did we help Manny before? I don't really. We remember, of course, we remember.
Yeah, you did a great job. If that was somebody else, we just probably found them, really, wouldn't they? Yeah. Mommy, she was coming upstairs, and I said to her, listen to this. And she was in bloody tears, She was in bloody tears.
I'm laughing at the way you say bloody tears. I'm so sorry. I don't know why that particular turn of phrase has tickled me, but after tonight, I need a laugh, and I will take them anywhere I can get them.
You do absolutely fantastic job. It's like a family. It's not just like a radio. It's like, you know, everybody's part of a family.
You sound tired, man. You had a busy day?
I have. I shall be breaking up tomorrow.
Yes. Christmas holidays.
Yeah. Till the 4th.
Look, hang on a minute. That goes on. That's ages.
Yeah.
You slacker.
You know how hard I work?
No, tell
sitting
me.
Sitting on that bloody desk answering the phone calls.
How many hours a day do you work?
4.
Right, so one more than me, and we have it easy. This guy's... So for 3 hours, I sit at this bloody desk answering the phones. You do it for 1 hour extra?
It's all thanks to you, all of you there. Yep. Thanks to all of you there.
You still owe us a 15% of your salary.
No problem. All no right. problem. Anyway, if I don't speak to you, have a very, very, very happy Christmas.
Merry Christmas and a happy New Year.
To all your listeners as well.
All right. Nice one, Manny. Take care, fella.
And you, Cap. Bye-bye.
Night, Manny.
It's Merry Christmas. It's Happy New Year. I've been, because we've had a tough old show tonight, I've been holding back, but... Merry Christmas, Happy New Year. Not Happy Christmas and a Merry New Year.
Does it matter? They're giving you good wishes.
No, they're not. They're effing me off.
What about season's greetings?
We wish you a Happy Christmas. That's not the words. We wish you a Happy Christmas. Wish you a Happy Christmas and a Merry... No, stupid. We wish you a Merry Christmas. Also, why would you have... Oh, I'm so happy it's Christmas and New Year. Hey, I'm merry. No, it's Christmas. I'm merry. Oh, it's Christmas. New Year. Oh, it's so happy. So happy to be here. That's the way it should be.
Wow.
It's a basic. Honestly, it pees me off.
Yeah, I know.
So much. The most annoying thing.
Man, you've got to let it go.
No, I can't.
It's supposed to be a fun time.
Well, it's supposed to be if people weren't idiots.
Gosh.
Which is what they are, unfortunately. I'm getting bunged up now. I'm so angry. Furious. Absolutely furious.
Wow.
I'm very spotty at the moment as well. I think it's the stress. Anyway, let's have a laugh. It's Rainbow George.
Hello, Ian, Kath.
Hello, George.
Hello, Mr. Rainbow.
Hello. Sad listening to Nigel. I'm sorry that he's not aware that his mother is watching over him, because I'm sure she is, and I've never visited...
Thank you. Sorry.
I've never visited the graves of my parents, because they're not there. They're in the world to come, and in a rainbow land. I'm sure of that, and it would be nice if Nigel tuned in on YouTube, Ian Dury Rainbow Land. Maybe he'd put music to it and then make a song out of it.
George.
It's all about you. It's always all about you and what you want.
Why is it about me?
Well, because Nigel's not listening now.
Isn't he?
No, he only listens
listen
to his
to
own
the show.
Bits.
Oh,
shame.
I know, it's a great show.
Yeah. I've not been able to listen to the show for weeks now. I just can't tune into it on my phone for some reason. Oh. And I'm not very good with the technology. Did you see a YouTube thing that went up after...
I saw a link went up, but I don't watch videos of me, no.
No, it was good. It was you doing your theory on life on Mars.
Yeah.
And it was a nice bit of footage, and I just Googled earlier and it came up that they've seen a pyramid on Mars and other things, It was very good what you said.
I genuinely believe it. That's where we came from. I genuinely believe it. Kath thinks I'm an idiot. Well, Kath will be laughing on the other side of her face when they find a Walkman on Mars.
That's physically impossible.
It isn't physically impossible, mate. There you go. You're doing it. Although you do look actually ill when you do that. So I think it's offensive.
Was there life on Mars? That went up on YouTube, and you were very good in what you said
the
there.
It's a load of balls.
Shut up.
And I concurred. I said that Mars was Egypt, and Earth is Israel, and the Exodus was from there to here. Anyway, it's all deep stuff. And
code for bullshine.
Shut up, is it bullshine? Stop being so dismissive of other theories of existence. You either believe the Earth, the Bible, which is a joke.
No.
The Earth is 3,000 years old. Darwin's evolution theory, what a load of old nonsense. Or we came from Mars, which I think makes a lot more
sense.
Oh,
there are only three options, is that right?
Well, you name a fourth. What's the fourth option?
Well, somewhere...
Thank you.
Somewhere.
Nah, don't worry.
It's somewhere between Darwin and the science that we actually can back up.
All right, mate. All right. Okay.
There's going to be a by-election coming up, which.
Oh, that's exciting.
What, on Mars or in this planet?
Peterborough. Peterborough. There'll be a by-election early next year.
Peterborough effect. You remember those adverts with Roy Kinnear?
No, I used to live in Peterborough.
Do you remember the Peterborough effect? It's Romans. It's a Roman waypoint, Peterborough.
Going to try and get Peter Cook involved in that election.
Peter Cook, he's dead, isn't he?
Well, Peter Bauer. So I'm looking to resurrect the Rainbow Alliance with the monster waving loony party and I'm looking forward to that. It's good to have things to look forward to.
It's good to have things to look forward to, although I'm also looking forward to having nothing in my diary next year. That's what I'm looking forward to having a slightly less intensive work period in my diary next year. That's what I'm looking at.
I think great things are going to happen for you next year. I do. I really think something special is going to happen with you one way or another.
I'm probably going to buy a new car. Is that it?
It's very special.
That's the plan.
No, you're going to...
a new car.
No, yeah? you're going to become world famous.
Wow. What about Kath? Is anything good going to happen to Kath or is it just me?
No, you and Kath.
Balls. I want to break free from this. I want to break free from the chains that bind.
Gosh.
All right, George, thank you very much.
I don't expect great things. Nice things, I would like.
I want to do great things, but I want to do them without Catherine.
Okay, well, fire
she
away.
She really gets on my tits. I find her annoying.
It's not very nice, mate.
But it's a good rhyme, though, wasn't it?
No, tids and annoying. What's a tid?
Tits.
You said tids.
Idiot.
The radio show that knows truth is always stranger than fiction.
Week Monday, I get shoes.
The Late Night Alternative with Ian Lee.
Because they're too real to be part of my imagination.
On Talk Radio.
Four 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 nine nine 1000. Where the hell are you, Dredge? You pop up on my screen, and then when we go to you, you bottle it. That to me is the act of a coward.
Tease, massive
it's
tease.
It's the act of a coward. Tara. Good evening, Tara. Listen to this. Tara's tweeted us. So instead of Netflix, I'm trying Talk Radio with Ian Lee and Flipping Kath. First time. Feel like a virgin.
Oh, dear.
Woo! Here's the thing. The same thing happened after The Jungle. Most new listeners are incredibly disappointed and don't stick around for long. You give it a go. Here's the thing. If you don't like it, we'll be doing something different in 10 minutes. And if you don't like that, we'll be doing something completely different in 30 minutes. So kind of come and go as you please. We're on Monday to Friday, 10 till 1. Some people are kind of saying, where's the audio gone of Chris? I don't know why it got taken off the website. I don't know why it got taken off. I think that's a really bad decision. I don't know why. I'm just seeing, the reason I was pausing then, I've just seen a couple of outlets and places have posted it on. Someone's posted it and on Facebook and then just written edit. We've regrettably been told to take down the video and other posts from all sites by those at the very top. Even though clips have been played on there, there have been significant traction and the story's been covered extensively by other outlets using our content and receiving positive plaudits. You can find extracts, but not the full conversation elsewhere online. I have no idea why it's been taken down.
Can you not see it on here on Listen Again?
I thought you said it had been taken off, didn't you?
No, the YouTube thing.
Why?
I think there's concern about how Chris might feel about it once he starts recovering. I think that's what the idea is. You know?
I hate to say it. It's kind of too late for that. It's kind of too late for that.
Yeah.
It's kind of too late for that. Is it on Listen Again? Well, okay. Maybe. Here's the thing. Because me and Kath Umdenard and talked for ages about whether it should go out as a podcast. And we decided, yeah, it should go out as a podcast. But they don't want it to go out
as a
podcast.
I've made it. I've got to wait until I get permission to post it.
Well, can I text Denny?
I've texted him and he's not responded.
Well, that's because it's not you, it's me. No, hang on.
Oh, good luck with that.
Denny. Hang on a minute. Can we put this out as a podcast? You'd be nuts not to. There we go. I don't know why. This decision is above and beyond our pay grade. We were going to put it out as a podcast with like a trigger warning at the start, not to be gawkish or mawkish or exploitative. Just because we felt it was kind of a really important thing to hear. I mean, it's horrendous. It's horrendous. But I think it's important that a lot of people are going to die over Christmas through their own hand, and they don't need to. There is no problem that can't be solved, and it may not be able to be solved in the way that you want it to be solved. But there is always, I think, and this is someone who has contemplated suicide seriously on 3 or 4 occasions. Not quite so seriously on a load more, but I've stood in the woods and gone, right, well, if I went in there with some rope, I could do it. I've lived in a bedsit for 2 years and looked around for ligature points. But everything can be resolved to a fashion that is less painful than taking your own life. That's the thing. It really can. Particularly those around. Anyway. I don't know.
Samaritans are brilliant.
In it. 116 123. 116 123 is the phone number. Let's go to Josie. Good evening, Josie.
Hi.
Hi, Josie.
Hi.
Hello.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can't hear you. Your phone is rubbish.
Oh. Can you hear me?
No.
Well, I'll try ringing back and move it somewhere else in the house.
Okay.
Of course, that bit's clear as a bell.
We can hear you then.
Yeah, can you hear me?
I can hear you there. Where are you in the house now?
Well, I'm stood by the front window now.
Do not move. It must be glass. Glass must be the conductor.
I live out in the countryside, so, you know, like...
I know you're not, right, but you do half sound like Josie Long.
Do I?
Yeah, you really... You do sound... Do you know Josie Long? I mean, not personally, but are you aware of her work?
No.
Oh, man. She's one of the funniest comics around. She's hilarious. And she does a brilliant radio show on Radio 4 called Shortcuts that I recommend. Everyone should listen to Shortcuts. It's like these little documentaries and little bits of audio all shoved together. And she's brilliant. And you sound like her. And you have the same first name. So there you go.
That's cool.
So congratulations.
Well done.
Yeah, go me.
That's the kind of thing that she would say.
Totally is.
That's what she would say. What can we do for you, Josie?
Well, what I was ringing up for is I heard you say about, you know, they've taken the call, you know, from Chris last night off air and everything.
Yeah.
But I was listening to it and I was in the same situation as Chris. I've done it, you know, twice now. Once 3 years ago and once at the beginning of the year.
Oh, no, no, no.
And listening to it from the other side made me realise just how scary it was for everybody. And I made a point of going over to see my friend today who helped me 3 years ago and just thanking them again. So I'm getting a bit emotional.
Yeah, that's all right. That's understandable.
You know, just thanking them again because... It was so scary listening to that last night, and I realised from the other side just how scary it is. And I think, you know, when Chris, you know, does recover and everything, and he listens to it, he'll realise just how much he's scared, you know, how scary it is for people to listen to that. I mean, my brother was in exactly the same situation as you. You know, he was on the phone to me. He was nowhere near me. You know, his wife was, you know, phoning the ambulance and everything. And, you know, and listening last night, it made me realise just how awful it was for them. You know, I mean, it weren't that good for me, but, you know... But, you know, it was must have been absolutely awful.
Yeah.
You know? And it was so scary listening last night. And when I see my brother on Saturday, I'm going to give him the biggest hug again.
Oh, mate.
But,
how are you doing now, you know, head-wise?
I'm a lot better.
Yes,
a lot better. You know, I got the help and everything. So I just hope, you know, because I am in a good place. I got a little bit emotional then, but I am in a good place.
Yeah.
Sort of like... Right now,
here's the thing: we are men and women, and boys and girls, and you know, people of all genders and ages. We're allowed to get a bit emotional. I had a really not a detailed chat, but I had to take a lot of phone calls today, and I must admit, I got a bit sucked into looking at it spreading on Twitter. I don't know if it was ego or I don't know what it was, but I kept looking into. I had my boys today, so I wasn't really present for them, and I had to do a couple of interviews on the phone. I spoke to Eamon Holmes, and I spoke to a couple of papers. And I said to my boys, look, the reason I'm doing this is because last night we had a guy that was really sick on the show, and we thought he was dying. I didn't say that he was taking his own life. I said he was sick and he was dying, and I was able to keep him talking long enough while Kath went and got an ambulance, and we managed to find him. And blah, blah, blah. But I also managed to sit down with them and said separately, because the youngest in particular is struggling with the divorce, and say to them, look, if you ever get so sad that it hurts, just talk to someone, whether it's me or your mum or your teacher or your mate or your grandparents. If you ever get so sad that it actually hurts, just make sure you talk to someone.
Yeah. I'm really fortunate that I've got a really good family around me. So, you know, I've got, you know, my kids have been fantastic, you know, sort of seeing me through the worst of my depression. And, you know, so now I'm on the climb upwards.
There we go. That's what it's all about.
That's good. But to change the subject,
yes, my microphone's gone on the piss here. I don't know what's going on.
It's gone
all droopy. And I'm worried because I've tried to fix this before and then it snapped off. It broke my banjo string.
Oh,
I think it's balanced. I mean, it's just balanced. It's balanced. There we go.
Just don't waggle it.
Well, I like to move it as part of it's my baton. Anyway, yeah, sorry, Josie. Sorry, yes.
Yeah, apologies. To change this, I've got a little bone to pick with Kath.
Yeah, oh, good.
Oh, there
good.
We go. What have I done?
Well, I rang up last week, and you know when last week when they were sort of deciding whether Theresa May should be Prime Minister still.
Oh, right.
And I rang up and said, I was fed up with that. So I watched Whatever Happened to Baby Jane.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and you made a flyaway comment about... you know, comparing Baby Jane to Brexit. And as I was drifting off to sleep that night, this horrible image came in my head of Boris Johnson on stage dressed up as Baby Jane.
Oh, God,
I'm so sorry. Please don't off-con me.
Yeah, singing, you know, I sent a letter to Daddy, and that was it. I was awake for the rest of the night.
Oh, wow, that would do it.
I was like, yeah.
That would...
Every time I closed my eyes, all I could see was... And I was like, oh, no, I don't want to sleep now.
Don't blame me. I'm so sorry. How can we take that away? We need to give you a nicer image.
So what I thought is I thought I'd pass the image on.
Yeah, thanks. Give it back. Now you've got Ian dressed as Baby Jane. Is that any better?
Sorry?
Now you've got Ian dressed as Baby Jane.
Oh, no. I don't need that image as well.
No, exactly.
No.
You'd love it. You know you'd love it.
I'll leave you that with that image and see if you.
Look, hang on a minute, Josie. No one gets off without a gift on this show. And tonight.
So put your hands out.
Tonight's gift. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Here we go. This is for you.
I've written a letter to Daddy. His address is heaven above.
There you go. Thank you, Josie.
Thank you.
Tutty bye. 0344 499 1000. We've got Bill, Alistair, Michael, Hassan, Jimmy, could be you, dear listener. This is the Late Night Alternative. Before we go any further, here's an advert for one of my colleagues.
No rules, nocturnal nattering for night birds, nurses, and Nosferatu.
All right, cool.
The Late Night Alternative with Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
03444991000 is the telephone number if you want to give us a call. Let's go to Michael. Good evening, Michael.
Hello, Ian. Hello, Cuff.
Hi, Michael.
Hello, Michael.
Hello. Did you say you wanted to talk about urns?
Yeah, sure. Why not?
I thought that's what you said earlier on when you first come on.
Didn't say it's what I wanted to talk about. I said I had two news stories and one of them was urns.
All right, urns then.
What's your urn story?
I took my dog.
What's a Grecian urn?
I think that's the one they put on their head.
No, come on. Ask me what's a Grecian urn.
That's £4.06.
Thank you very much indeed. Well, that's the punchline to that gag, even though it should be...
Drachma?
Drachma, yeah, but it's still a good gag. What's a Grecian urn? That's about £4.06.
Oh, well done.
Thank you. Here we go, Michael.
Right. Urns. When I had my dog cremated,
And now we're back. Now we're back, guys. This is what we do.
This is the usual stuff.
This is what we do. We're back. We're back in the room. Yes, sir.
Right. When I had my dog cremated about 5 or 6 years ago, one very big dog, and they asked me if I wanted a communal burial.
Oh, yeah.
Or if I wanted a private burial.
Yes.
I said, well, why would I want a communal burial when
it's not
the
a word?
Huh? And I don't want the ashes of all the other dogs.
Yes.
Right. Huh? So when I had my ashes back, I think I got the ashes of a horse because I got that many ashes. It took about 3 shovels to spread these ashes all around. And my dog was only a little dog.
Oh,
and most of it was fur, so that would burn off. You just have the skin and bone left, I suppose.
Well, but isn't most of the ash anyway? The casket. Hello?
No.
He's having a think.
They have the ashes.
Yes.
And they put the ashes in the urn.
They just put the dog in the oven without it, like, not in a coffin or anything.
No, you don't. They don't put them in a coffin. They just sort of open the door and in they go.
Well, that's very peculiar.
Humans, I reckon, when they put you in the coffin, you have these posh coffins, but they take all the handles and screws.
They take the handles off and they sell them again.
Onto a wicker one and throw that in.
When I'm dead and gone, I'm going to get cremated in just like an old plastic bag.
Or a sleeping bag. I'm going to get buried at sea, and you can come and dance on my grave.
Hey, I'll drown though, Michael. So what did you do? Where did you scatter the ashes?
I went over the chase where I had to take her for a walk and I just spread them over there.
That's illegal.
But I didn't even know that.
What? It's illegal. You can't just scatter ashes anywhere.
Who can't?
You can't. No one can. It's illegal. No, you can't. You've got to get permission to scatter ashes.
I used to scatter ashes off the dustbin all over the garden.
All right, OK. Enough of the jokes. That's what I'm here for, guys.
Tales of mystery and imagination on the radio show that does things differently.
Dolly Parton, I listen to her records all day long.
The Late Night Alternative with Ian Lee.
I'm a nut job, but not that kind of nut job.
On Talk Radio.
Honest to God, it's the new Breaking Bad.
Oh, no.
I've written a letter to Daddy. His address is heaven above. Good evening, Jimmy.
Hello, mate. How's it going?
That's none of your business.
Sorry.
What can we do for you, James?
it's something I was contemplating calling you about quite a few times, but I figured now's the best time to do it. As many with. What happened yesterday?
Yes.
I wanted to call you up a few times just to say that, like, through the past, probably the past year, basically last year, I lost my whole family, and the support that you gave to that man yesterday it was in a different way it was to me, but just through podcasts and having somebody mainstream media, or whatever you want to call it, just to saying things where you're like, you know, like sitting there and going, you know, Ian actually gets it. Like somebody out there actually gets it. You've said some things that are, you know, really dark points of your life. And for me, I just wanted to kind of say that, like, you know, you really, obviously, really, he's done an amazing thing yesterday, both of you, with that guy. And but, like, he's not the only one. Like, I definitely, he helped me big time. And I really, really appreciate it, man. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, Jimmy. That's a big thing to say to both of us, and we both take it on board. Thank you, man.
Yeah, it means the world, man. It means the world. I really appreciate it.
How are you today? How are you this very day? With Christmas coming up next week, it's a tough old time for a lot of people. Are you all right about it? Are you digging it? Are you dreading it? What's the vibe today?
I'm not digging it, really, to be honest. I'd like to go to sleep and wake up when it was done. There is that pressure. I think what Kath said earlier, you know, there's this added pressure that you should have this perfect lifestyle, you know, that you should, this time of year, you should be renting out a log cabin and everything. You know, you should have a tree down up to the ceiling and all things like this, and just everything that comes with it. I mean, most of it is shopping. I think I get headaches when going shopping. I think anxiety just being around massive groups of people and stuff. Yeah. And also it was this time of year when it all happened. Well, sort of, as much as it may have sounded the beginning that it was all in one go, it was basically very random and very sort of like my mother got sick randomly, stomach thing, and it turned out to be this really aggressive cancer, and she died 8 weeks later. And then 3 months after that, my dad died from emphysema, from, you know, which he'd been fighting for years and was living with, but I think, you know, a broken heart kind of had a big effect on that. And then my auntie died 3 months after that. And then the one that's kind of, I would say, that has messed me most was I found my brother, it was in December, basically he was on the sofa. And what had happened was he had a, you know, fentanyl? It's an extremely powerful opiate. He had one of those patches, you know, the ones that deliver every hour?
Yeah.
Yeah, but it had a fault. Kind of delivered all the doses, so basically, yeah.
Mate.
Yeah, and that one...
Oh, jeez.
Everything surrounding that, even the most minor of detail, the feeling of the cold smell of the air, driving on a certain road, which I drove to that night, and things like that can just transport me all the way back, you know. I'm not the type, and I'm glad I'm not, suicidal thoughts have never been a part of, you know, of my depression. I suffered with depression and anxiety before then, but this kind of depression is like, it's you know, it's a new level that is, I think the worst kind of depression, that it's definitely the worst depression I've had, but I think the worst part of it is, what makes it so hard is when you don't understand it, when you're having a good day and not even a flashback or anything has brought you down to the ground. You just go to the low for no reason. I think that confusion is what makes it so bad. And that is the part there, I think, where you've said things before and I'm like, okay, this is not just some new level that I've only achieved, you know, like I've got past the final boss of depression and it turns out there's a bonus challenge. Like it's not like that. It's just like everybody else gets this. It's the confusion of it. And I think
Can I go off on going back ever so slightly from away from the depression thing, but going back to the death thing, right?
Yeah, of course.
When my dad died, right, and I had a very strange relationship with my dad. We didn't get on for years, and then towards the end we made peace, and then he got ill and died again, right? And he died and abandoned me again, right? But here's the thing that no one tells you about, right, when someone really, really, really close to you dies. And since then I've heard a few people mention it. I heard someone mention it on a play in Radio 4 the other day. the growl you make. Do you know what? The howl yeah. you make when you're crying. Yeah. Did you get that?
I got that.
It's an animal. You had that, Kath? Because yeah. we've all had people close to us. It's like a wolf. It's like an yeah. animal howl. There's no other word. I've never heard any noise like it before. And it was coming out of my throat because I was in so much pain and was crying, and it was incredible. And no one talks about the howl, but
no, they
it's
can't.
Really it's really common when if it's someone yeah, that close to you. Do you yeah. have that then, Jim?
Yeah, I had it. What happened with me was I've had it where I've pulled all the muscles in my stomach.
Yeah, I bet. Yeah,
you know, like guttural. I had it with mum and with dad. I did cry, but I held it together to a certain extent with the thought of, you know, you've got to be one of the people who's holding it together at this point, you know. And but with my brother, what happened was I lost the thing that happened. You know, when you see in films when people, when something like that happens and you see somebody fall to the ground.
Yeah.
Now, that's what happened. I completely lost my legs. And I cried. It's like what you're saying. It's not. It's almost like you can't describe it as a cry. It's like some sort of feeling that comes from the deepest, darkest part of every part of you that just creates this. I don't even know what it sounded like.
I had to fall into the floor as well. Not immediately. This was like maybe even I can't remember. Maybe it was even a different day. I'm not sure. But the fall into the floor on my knees. Just this roar coming from
horrific,
your gut,
man. Horrific.
No one mentions it, and I think people should, because it terrified me. It terrified my wife as well.
I bet it did. I mean, the thing is, I don't know if this happened to you, but what was happening to me was where my legs had gone, I was getting it days afterwards, and it stopped after a few weeks, where I would just be making a cup of tea or something. I'll get a little flashback, and my legs would just start to go. They wouldn't go.
Yeah.
But I'd feel it, and when I spoke to the doctor about it, he said, you know, it's a PTSD thing, it's to do with shock. It's the same mechanism that when you get in a car crash and you black out. It's a protection thing, you know, like a built-in sort of shutdown thing. That part of it really, really messed me up, man. And it messed me up to the point of, I think it was because, you know, as much as you know your parents are going to go, when they do go, it's such a shock and such a hard-hitting thing. And then, but me and him was in it together, you know. We was very close, and we held each other up through the whole thing. And, you know, even through the point of being broke and trying to get money to give funerals and working it out. And, you know, we went to complete rock bottom to make sure everything was done right. And to lose that, to lose him, you know, was like, and even now, it's just everything about him. And, you know, I don't know if you had this with your dad. My brother is one of these people, a lot of people look like him.
Right, yeah, yeah.
A lot of people, man. Like, but some people, there's a few that look exactly like him. And I get really fixated on, a few images of people that look like him and think, what's going on here? And I think you kind of cry out for there to be a sign of something.
Oh, you're always looking for a sign, looking for a meaning. Is that, it's got to be a sign that there is some point to this. I had to say, my dad was a tall, fat old man with white hair. There's loads of them around. Mm-hmm. And I would see him I see him now. Years later, I see him drive, you know, pull up in a car next to me. Oh, it's my dad. Oh, no, it's not. He's dead.
You find yourself staring at strangers, don't you? Like, it might be just a small thing. I remember standing behind this guy when my granddad died very suddenly.
Yeah.
And it's not as bad, you know, when they're older, it's not as bad and not as shocking. Of course it isn't. But standing behind this guy in a queue and staring at his ears. His ears were exactly the same as my granddad's, you know, in the back of his neck. And I kind of couldn't stop looking because he was there for a second, if you know what I mean.
Of course.
But at the same time, you know it's not, and it's heartbreaking. It's just the strangest thing.
All right, Jimmy, listen, we've got to move on. Nice to talk to you, man. Thanks for sharing that with us. And we can get through next week, man. We can do this.
Big things, man. Big things.
Big things. Speak to you soon, fella. Take care.
Nice one, man. Bye. Take care. Bye-bye.
We're off next week. We're here tomorrow. We're off next week, then we're back the week after. Business as per usual from Monday. And Monday is New Year's Eve, I think. Monday the 31st of December. We're back. We're back in the New York groove. 03444991000 is the telephone number. This is Talk Radio.
The Late Night Alternative with Ian Lee on Talk Radio.